protect me, O God. I trust in you for safety. I say to the Lord, you are my God. All the good things I have come from you. How excellent are the Lord's faithful people. My greatest pleasure is to be with them. Those who rush to other gods bring many troubles on themselves. I will not take part in their sacrifices. I will not worship their gods. You, Lord, are all I have. And you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. Wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. I praise the Lord because he guides me. And in the night my conscience warns me. Aware of the Lord's presence. He is near. And nothing can shake me. Also, I am thankful and glad. I feel completely secure. Because you protect me from the power of death. Because you protect me from the power of death. Because you protect me from the power of death. I have served you faithfully. And you will not abandon me to the world of the dead. Lord, you are my God. All good things I have come from you.
Violet and John.
Greetings.
There's no answer.
All right, greetings in the name of the Most High. Here we are. We are on the air. We weren't earlier because otherwise you'd hear that I want to pray for the destruction of all evil people in the world. And the reason that I'm angry is because of the continued lie about the problems here. By the way, I want to be on record. There's been no barking the entire morning that I've been here. And it begins now that the show begins. So I just want to make sure you understand that. But, so they're going to have they're going to talk today about, they locked down Las Vegas last night. Pretty much almost a quarantine. I think you can still go in and leave, but enforce police on the streets that if you don't have a mask outside in the square, just anywhere outside, they will ticket you with huge fines. We're going full down lockdown. People, SOS, SOS. This governor here has gone full totalitarian, and she's about to put Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and probably everywhere else under martial law. Is there any way we can stop it? Or are there any people here No, okay, there's the problem in New Mexico is the people here are really stupid, and I'm sorry to say that. It's not, they weren't born that way, but they became that way. They became compliant. And when you become compliant, you become rather stupid. And they're cheering on the governor locking down even more. I'm trying to figure out if we can leave the state, because we want to leave now. And I'd like to be able to leave, but it looks like the more that there's a delay over here where I don't get my ability to leave, that my RV, I have to use that. And I want to leave, but there's still some more things that keep, it's like it gets delayed every week, you know, like you put it in a gang stalking, it's like it pushes itself to where you can't get it. You can't find your keys. You can't get your RV. You can't get your vehicle. It just, and then the lockdown comes, but you were all ready to go, but then it just, and then after that, yes, but now you can't, you know, it's just unreal.
Calm down, Zeph.
No.
Yes.
Okay, so
welcome to 20 on 20, where we pray for an end to human trafficking and modern-day slavery.
Hey,
buddy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
And we don't worry about RVs or anything like that.
Real classy way to start off the prayer meeting with just bitching and moaning about
don't worry, I can't even get online. See, I'm going to try to get online so I can post.
You can't. Yeah, you can't get on.
It's weird.
You can't use the satellite because I'm using it. So, good luck. The
TNZ Air is not even working.
Right. TNZ Air is an expensive T1 that we pay thousands of dollars for a year, and we can't get it to work. So all we really have here
ever
is this.
Ever since the rains,
ever since the ticket never got fixed. And they kept saying, it's fixed. And they said, no, it's not fixed. Yes, it is fixed. No, it's not fixed. Meanwhile, the bills keep coming in. So we have the satellite. That's about all you've got.
In this world.
Okay, anyway, so in the last week, we have... I'm going to get with it. I'm sorry, I began the show with my head wasn't really in this
grumpiness
thing today.
You were full of grumpiness.
Yeah, just too many delays.
Too
many delays.
This violated, John.
Violet and John.
Hi.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Hello, John. Good to hear from you.
Well, we've gotten off to a little bit of a clumsy start here, but we're all here now, and thank you all for being here. We really are grateful that everybody could get together today. It's so exciting, all of the stuff that's going on regarding stopping of human trafficking. I'm loving the wonderful news we're getting out of Pakistan with the Bread of Life food drive over there with feeding all of the people. All these people coming to the Lord. It's beautiful.
You want me to talk? Well, you're doing okay. I mean, you know, I mean, the thing is, I'm just wondering if you were talking, very well, then what if I wasn't here, it wouldn't matter. Because you were doing fine.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So here's the thing. The last week has been, you know, in some ways very illuminating and expanding, and knowledge is expanding tremendously. As we understand now a little more about the fact that they're of what this world is, this prison we live in. And, you know, it's become more clear. They've shown us the bars and shown us who has the power. Obviously, you know, the U.S. is a joke. It's even the president, as much as he tries to do, doesn't have any power. So here we are in this situation where the rule of law is being violated. The human trafficking, by the way, is, even though we are interdicting it at a great level here in the United States, it's also expanding, too, around the world. It's growing, not shrinking. And it's almost as if the news media and the UN and everyone else is pushing for this pedophilia to be legal, to take the focus off the human trafficking. so that they can continue unabated. They can continue to keep trafficking and you know, and that's also drugs and wars. I mean, they've been, you know, they haven't been able to do wars because of Trump stopping the wars, but they're itching to get back to more wars and more refugees and more trafficking, and that's really the trade that they trade in. I think for the first time, we've been able to see what hell is, like a preview of hell. I don't think anyone likes it, right? It's like we're seeing a preview of hell in a sense. And but we still have free will. We still have a chance and a choice, you know, to keep on. I know that there's a lot of pressure on people here. For example, our suicide rates have gone through the roof. And I think that's, you know, and that's in a, you know, with people that do have some provision to get them through, but they have no longer do they have an idea of a future here. They're, for example, in the state I'm in, most, like 90% of the people don't know what the future holds for them. And when you've, you know, if you've worked your whole life and, you know, you've done a trade, it and it all kind of backfires on you, and you know, you're going to need some help. And unfortunately, what they're doing with the communication is trying to separate us from each other so that we can't really communicate. I mean, I don't know how much longer they're going to let us stay on the air. I mean, I want to tell you that a lot of people that I know and respect have been taken off the air on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I've been told that eventually I'll be gone. And I'm not sure when that'll be, but, you know, I think the only reason I'm there right now is because God has put me there and protected me through this time, so that there could be a word, you know, if I ever get out of my own way. Today was not a good start for me, but I'm getting to it now. I'm getting there now. I'm getting warmed up now, Govinda. Oh, today was a very rough time.
Here's the thing. But you know what? The reason it's rough is because you're in the fight. I mean, the reason it's rough and the reason that people are struggling with some of these things is because we feel it, we experience it, we're engaged in it in different ways, different shapes, different forms. You know, rather than John here from straight out of the middle of what's going on over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, Pat's in the middle of everything there too. I'm in the middle of things. Everybody listening in this morning, joining us, Kunita as well. You know, we're all going through in our different ways and engaging in what our Creator has us to be doing right now as His children upon this earth. Now, one thing that we talked about from the very first 20 on 20s were this wave of light that we saw, that we witnessed to, that this is back in, you know, early 2015.
I remember that.
And this is early 2015 when nothing was going on seemingly on the surface. Mm-hmm. And I mean, now in a very short period of time, how much has been revealed, exposed, brought into the light, revealed, mm-hmm. drug out in front of all of humanity for everybody to see, everybody to take notice of, people can't get away from it. They try to block it out, and it just keeps coming up in another place. So, and also, too, as we're going into a place now of with light, there's heat, there's frequency, there's increase. I mean, when you boil water, the reason that the water boils is because that heat that's applied, the particles are moving much faster inside of that pot. And as the frequency continues to increase with the light, you're seeing people cracking up. I mean, you're seeing a lot of people struggling with what that is, because it's this wave of light that's coming in, that where our Creator is the one doing it,
expanding,
you know, and he's doing it with and also through those that are in connection with Him, those that are His, those that are part of His plan and purpose for this world, this earth, this place. Now we're seeing a lot of things manifest. Now He gave us something very specific to do, which everybody that's showed up on every 20th like this, I just want to say right now, when we have the chance, while we can still talk like this, thank you. thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for having and making the commitment, showing up, you know, bringing, you know, just listen, just showing up is huge. I don't care how bad you feel. You stubbed your toe. You broke your toe. You know, got kicked in the side. You're bleeding. You're doing great. Whatever it is, but to show up consistently like this is a powerful, powerful thing. And we've seen the global manifestations taking place as a result too of our own participation in something much bigger than ourselves, mind you. You know, this has not been just because we've met up like this, but we have been doing something in collaboration with the spirit of the living God, the spirit of our Creator, who has been moving us and quickening us to do that. So now we should be encouraged by that in a few things. One is that He is engaged in what's going on here. He is speaking to us in what's happening here. He is revealing things to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have ever done this in the first place. So those kind of things are witnesses that we need to be encouraged by in the middle of times when things do seem to get dark, when things do seem to get bad. And part of the reason why they're getting bad is because also the enemy is desperate. The enemy of our souls is doing everything they can, showing their hand time and again, making missteps, making huge sweeping actions that reveal themselves far more than they would like to. See, every time that they make a move, they make a move, and by doing so, they reveal so much more of what's actually going on and what's behind them. So like the big tech overreach, we see the not just the censorship, but the pervasive, invasive nature of what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. The mind control built into how they broker information. So we're seeing that. We're seeing also too that a lot of these things that we talk about, the information's out there. People know what's going on. We saw from the Epstein situation, the FBI had the information for over a decade. They sat on it. So we know that the information is out there, that people know. People know about John Podesta. People all over the world know about John Podesta. 4 years they've known about John Podesta, but there's no follow-up on the information that has been released, the information that is public knowledge, that's out there on something like WikiLeaks and a lot of other places. So, but things, here's the thing, things cannot stay like they are right now. They will continue to escalate. They will continue to come to a fevered pitch. And for the children of the living God, we need to continue to persist. We need to continue to move forward in what is true, what is right, what is that which the Father has quickened us to do. And we need to also be encouraged. I know that sometimes this stuff is discouraging because we're bombarded seemingly from every side. But the reason that they're doing so much right now is because they're actually losing. They're losing the fight. They're losing the narrative. They're losing mind control. They're losing their control over corrupt financial situations and institutions. Mm-hmm. They're losing their control over people's perception. Yeah. How many people have questions that they've never had before? They're losing. And that's why they're pulling out all these extra stops to try to get back in control. And the more they do, the more they lose. So we need to also be encouraged in that. And I know that it's tough sometimes in the middle of the fight. When we get together like this, it's a bit of a refresh, a bit of a consolidation, and a bit of encouragement and engaging in the realm of the spirit, because that's where things change. And then we see the manifestation in the natural. So I just want to encourage you all today, as we get into the show, and just know that we're okay. Yeah. Listen, we're all right. You know, we're all right. You continue on the path of truth. You continue on the path of light. You continue on the path that the Creator's laid out for us. And allow for things to, He will give us continually the instructions we need, the information we need to make the difference that's necessary.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, like, for example, before I got in the air today, he told me everything was fine. Stop worrying about stuff.
Well, there you go.
No, seriously. I told Trish this. I have a witness. I told that to Trish, and I was able to find rest at night because there's just, you know, it's not really worrying. It's that I'm, you know, what I'm doing is I'm having to catch up with the revelation of information. And, you know, and the reason I have to do that is because that's what God made me. He made me a person that does that. That's my natural state, is to you know, process the information. And there's been such a huge, you know, download, if you will, and such a huge revelation about who they are. And, so, and really the most stunning revelation to me is the reaction and lack of reaction, and to realize how many slave bots are here. You know, and also people that are not human. I'm now beginning to detect the non-human humanoids. They're in human form, but they're not human. They're not the same. And I don't mean that as a choice, evolution. They just aren't human. You know, however they got that way, I don't know. But it's starting to become obvious who they are. There's not, you know, I wouldn't say they're the majority of people that you see, but they have kind of a control or influence over people who have not made a decision or made a choice as to what side they're on. You know, for example, people still think it's cool to be on the side of darkness because that's where so-and-so the rock star is or one of their heroes is. And so they figure, well, that's good enough for them, and that's as far as it goes in terms of their analysis. And so I'm seeing that they're making a move, you know, definitely a global move. They've shown us that our nation states are nothing. That's fine. I've gotten over that. But the kind of seeing the multitudes and seeing how many multitudes are, for example, you know, are targeted for extinction and their seed is targeted for a complete erasing from ever having been. And as I see that, those numbers started to show vast amounts of people that will not, I mean, it's okay. They when they became aware, when it was obvious and in your face, when you had to kind of speak up and say, well, I believe this and not that, or when there's no chance to run anymore, no place to hide. And then they show themselves to be, you know, let's just say they're going to go along to get along. You know, and how many people are kind of in that? And I've seen that here in New Mexico. Not that there aren't people fighting back and trying to stay sovereign and trying to do the right thing, but I mean the preponderance of people, the majority in the United States, for example, seem to be going along with the program. This is just the first step of it. You know, the mask and lockdown, and now they're bringing the COVID up right before that. They have complete control over the COVID and COVID numbers, so they're bringing it up right before the election. Because they're worried Trump might win, so this way they can throw it into more chaos by having more places locked down ahead of time. And so this is all, I'm having to catch up with this. At the same time, the Lord is, you know, I keep asking, you know, is this it? Because we see the mark of the beast, right, the hydrogel, the quantum dot, which is change your DNA and, you know, you're now a hybrid, so I'm sure God doesn't want us doing that, okay? I am positive the Lord does not want us to change our DNA and become something that he did not create. You know, this is back in, we're all the way back in Genesis 6 now. And, you know, here we go. And the big program is to augment people, i.e. to trip out their DNA and to manipulate it in such a way as to produce a post-human world in the digital matrix that is created with their quantum AI and quantum computers, which are some of which are hundreds of millions of years old. And I know people, you know, it's hard to understand, but if you look at the artifacts that have been found, you'll see they found computer artifacts from that long ago, even longer. And, you know, they're trying to kind of create a digital space where the biological realm is extinct. And the digital, yes, or the new universe they're creating where they get to be God is underway and has been underway for a long time. And what they're trying to do is get people's imprint, their DNA, their blood, so they can recreate these people in another realm. And it's really quite fascinating that how far along they are. I mean, it's really amazing that most of this advanced technology had been hidden from humanity all of our lives, and it's like 1,000 years ahead of where we are.
Yeah.
And
you're absolutely right, Seth.
Come on.
You're absolutely right. And a key part of this is look back at this so-called pandemic and the steps they've taken.
Yeah.
First of all, they introduced the disease, which turns out to be not really very lethal. But what they did was they induced panic across the country. And with this fear, they brought everybody in to start taking
tests. And across the world.
But don't you realize, when you give a test, when you take that test, you are giving these people your DNA. They now have access to you.
Yeah,
you not only become a part of their database, they can begin to program a replacement for you
exactly. At
some time when they take you out. So the testing has got to be the key.
Yeah.
Stay away from the testing, my friends. Do not let them do that.
Yeah.
I think that's what this is all setting up to. And I think that people will be taking the mark of the beast left and right because
of
the fear.
It's terrible. Zeff did a word. We watched this show a couple days ago that this woman, Celeste Salam. She, a Jesus follower, and she worked for FEMA for 20 years. I sent it to you, Gobain. I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but we watched it, and it was just everything she said was backed. Everything she said was backed up by, you know, documented papers, and you know it's all there. And she was very reasonable and logical about it. How the whole program has been set up, and how they're playing it out, and what they're doing, and how they're intending to, you know, vaccinate the entire world and change people from their
to hybrids
being created by God to something else, and. You know, written out of the Lamb's Book of Life is what you get if you take the vaccination, the hydrogel and the, what's it called?
It's a quantum dot hydrogel technology developed by DARPA and Bill Gates Foundation at MIT. Mm-hmm. And the whole point of it is that it introduces 33 robots into your system. They're nanobots. And what they do is they do all these different functions, one of which is to receive information and have you conform to that, you know, to your instructions.
Yep.
The other would be to read off you your health at any given time. They know that your state of health, if you have a headache, if you have anything like that. But then there's also dozens of other functions.
They can give you instructions.
Yeah, they give you instructions and how to live. And then the ones that don't comply, they have an internal execution device that instantly kills a person who is not going to comply. In other words, they have that on you and you've taken that mark. They just have to push a button. They don't even have to push a button. They can just eliminate you at will. And you will just have a heart attack or a seizure, or you'll just die on the spot.
Yeah, there are many ways they can kill you. And it was, she recorded it on the 14th of this month, and we didn't see it until a friend sent it to me on Facebook. And I posted it, and I know a couple people picked up on it, but not very many people. I've sent it to a few friends.
I think people don't understand. I don't think
few watched it and realized how evil it was.
Yeah.
But
they don't understand, Trish. A lot of people are very uneducated, and you know I've noticed that more and more. They're illiterate and uneducated. They don't really know what DNA is. You know, first of all, they don't know what it would be to change a human to another species.
I sent it to David Knight. I'm hoping that he watches it and interviews this woman. So that would be a good service.
Yeah, it's a very comprehensive thing, but it also goes into the
She knows how the government works. She
right.
she worked
DOD.
With the FEMA for 20 years. So she knows all their plans.
Well, the vaccine also has one. It has one function, a nano function, that actually kills the part of you that believes in God.
Yeah, that's a target.
And that's in the vaccine.
The CIA
actually.
She shows in the thing that clip from the CIA where they are.
That wasn't CIA
targeting.
No, that was DOD. And that was a seminar held by the DOD where they explained this. And they said this is the purpose of the vaccine, is to eliminate what they called a fanatical religious part of the brain.
The part of that speaks to God.
Right, and it deals with that part of the brain to destroy it. So that you'll listen to AI and you won't listen to God anymore, if you will. This is probably why it's called the Mark of the Beast, because it separates us from the Almighty God, from Creator. And then, of course, after that, once they have you at that point, you're done anyway. You're basically their robot, and you'll do whatever you are programmed to do. But I don't want to take away from the idea, though, that many people are programmed right now, this moment, and they are completely under control of frequencies, especially with the 5G coming in, and their smartphones are also sending instructions to them, and they're actually complying. Now, this is because they have introduced these nanobots, too, in the air, in diseases, in food. And so, you know, in any given cell, there's a number of these these nanoparticles that are smart particles that are programmed. In any given cell, they're full of these nanoparticles just waiting to be activated. And so this is a... I do believe the more intense this gets, the more like a sci-fi episode in hell this becomes, the more I believe the Lord's going to just whisk us out of here at some point. I'm not saying it's the rapture or anything, the official rapture. I'm not really buying any of these doctrines that people have. But I just see that the Lord's going to take his people, you know. He's not going to leave his people subject to this craziness, to this abomination that they're doing, which is, if you think about it, is the abomination of desolation.
And like you were saying, Govinda, they are very desperate. They are one of the reasons they're pushing so hard to just push everything through is because there is opposition. There is a praying remnant all over the world that is pushing back against their plans to just take over completely.
What they are is a death cult.
Look at how many things, how many pieces of information they've worked very hard to quash. Mm-hmm. I mean, information about the pandemic, plandemic, information about the actual numbers and statistics, yep. Information about falsified death records, information about incentives and basically fraudulent money laundering schemes, mm-hmm. perpetrated by people in the healthcare sector to essentially steal federal funding. And if they can actually go through and actually process what happened, likely killing people because of the financial incentives associated with a COVID death. The kind of information that has been put down. I just sent you guys a link on the chat here. There's a website you guys can all check out if you want to. It's World Doctors Alliance, yeah. worlddoctorsalliance.com. And if you go to that, you can go on there and you can see just a ton of doctors from around the world, mm-hmm. that have all come together and basically had an open statement
about 5,000
all the governments of the world. Yeah, and you've got doctors, then you've got assistant healthcare providers, and then you have general citizens as the third tier people that have signed on to this, and all of them saying, you know, drawing out some unified understanding that we've all had, mm-hmm. by comparing notes, comparing information, not having a vested interest in the outcome and the agenda, but actually taking things for the facts and the truth of what they are. And they are continuing to block this kind of information, this kind of discourse. So what's happening is the more that they keep doing this, the more that you can triangulate on who the bad actors are, who the gatekeepers and controllers of information are. And this is also, too, where, you know, it's important that we do some mitigating steps on our side so that we can try to give ourselves a little bit more staying power. Like, you know, if you've got your own websites, web properties, put them up, let people know where they are, because when we likely get shadow banned or pushed off of these generic, larger, big tech platforms, if people know that they can still find your information somewhere for a while, that'll give you a little bit more staying power. But they're definitely trying to control the information. They're trying to control the resource. I don't know if you've seen this, but the IMF is trying to now, International Monetary Fund is trying to call for a new Bretton Woods plan. Because first these guys collapse the global economy, and then they now want to try to get back in control and keep people from getting off, and so they want to control the debt system. So you got a lot of people trying to, I mean, address it up in all these kind of words, but if we the people don't participate, if we the people say, you know what, no, I don't think I want that, I think I'm going to do something else, they're done. Yeah. I was telling
Jeff about that yesterday. They're trying to put everybody on into the debt system where they say they'll take all your debt away, but in order to do that, you cannot own anything. It's just like
the old shell game.
Ponzi scheme.
The old shell game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and we know from the Rockefeller papers from 10 years ago, how they were going to play this thing out. We know. Everybody knows. Everybody knows it's a joke to wear a mask. Everybody knows. It's like, I mean, I'm proud to say I have never worn a mask, not even one time. I'm going to go vote early, and I may have to wear a mask for that. But, that would be the only...
The doctor.
...thing. No, I wouldn't go to the doctor if I have to wear a mask. I just won't. It's like stupid. Wearing a mask is like saying, okay, I'm a slave, in my opinion.
Well, after the mask, you know, it comes the vaccine, and so that's the real goal here.
Several months ago, I asked people, would all you people that are wearing masks, would you take the mark of the beast? And people got so mad at me.
I want to put out a question to people because, you know, there's been, you know, Trump has been a very controversial figure. And, you know, he's been really pushing.
I really love that he came out yesterday and called Fauci an idiot.
But right now, we like that when he does that. But pushing the vaccines, though, I've had a moral problem with him, you know, doing that. Just like I've had moral problems with all the presidents. But, I mean, I am against the pushing of the vaccines as he's done. And I am against his pushing of the 5G, which he's done. Well, we have that now. And other things, you know, I mean, there's been, you know, it's been kind of like a... Actually, if you really want to be honest about him, if you don't have Trump derangement syndrome, it's been, you know, it's been balls and strikes. It hasn't been, you know, a completely, you know, free
absolutely.
Of trouble. I believe that he got rolled with a COVID thing, and I don't believe that he saved... When he says he saved millions of lives, I don't believe that's true, okay? I'm sorry, I can't drink that Kool-Aid. Not going to. I just don't see how that's true, given the seriousness of the disease or lack thereof. I can't see that he saved millions by stopping flights from China. Unless there's some other aspect of it that I don't know. Like there's some other kind of military thing going on that I didn't know about or something like that. Other than that, it's hard to believe. And, you know, at the same time, you know, he represents the last vestiges of, you know, of autonomy, capitalism, you know, freedom of religion, you know, things I do believe in. But it just seems that, you know, the traitors here that he's up against, like, you know, big tech, you know, who've sold out to the Chinese, the Chi-Coms, the Chinese communists. And it seems like everyone has that goal of selling out to the Chinese communists, implementing their method of control of people, having them kind of rule over the new world order in terms of law enforcement and enforcement of social values, let's say, and the extermination of those people that don't comply or do not conform to that. For example, people that believe in God, let's say, or people who would like to pray, people that would like to read books get killed, people that are they don't want their books banned. They like their books. They want to read, you know, things like, 1984 or Fahrenheit 451 or some of these books that were warning us about this kind of future. And they want to be free. You know, they may not even know if they believe in God or not, but they're those kind of people that just aren't going to have it. Well, those kind of people get targeted too. And, you know, any kind, and also the other religions, Judaism, Islam, Hindu, any kind of people that are any, that are religious at all or devout in their pursuing of faith or spirituality, however they define it, would also be persona non grata. And the plan they have is to eliminate those people also through the vaccines, through that, you know, hitting that area in the brain that makes us, quote, religious or whatever. But that seems to be the central goal of these people, to eliminate that, that connection between man and God, and however that can be done, and with the idea that they will put you to death otherwise. But they can't put you to death, though, until they get from you, until they torture you enough, to where you finally forsake the Lord, let's say. Then they want to kill you. That's what Richard Werbrand explained when he was in the communist prison in Romania, that they wanted to blaspheme the Lord and get you to blaspheme the Lord until they finally tortured you enough to where you'd finally say, oh, to hell with God, to hell with all, you know, you finally give up. And then, of course, at that point, then, of course, you're ripe for death. And that was, that goes all the way back to Marx.
They want you to reject God. And right. Then kill you.
They don't want to kill you until you reject God, because see, that's that doesn't help them. The whole goal, the whole reason for these people to breathe air or for their hearts to beat, is to get those people. That's why they're talking about now in America, rolling out the guillotines and going from town to town looking for people that believe in God to give them the guillotine treatment. It's no longer about, say, Black Lives Matter and Antifa and this and that, anti-fascist. It's now the God people, right? And then they want to tear down the statues, they want to burn all the books, and burn all the history because it's all racist or whatever excuse they use. But really, this is all of this has to do with severing our tie with the living God. Because if you think about all those books, you know, and all the grappling with God throughout history, and the philosophers, and the Bible, and all, you know, and all over the world, really, books, you know, questing after knowledge about God. And it's a natural human thing to do, no matter where you come from. And they would like to sever that and have instead the state, or AI, a machine, which is this new state, which is the state right now, actually. They want that to be the God, and the abomination of desolation to be within each of us, which would be the vaccine, right? That would be putting the thing that should never be in your body, in your body. It's all about that. If you just look at it from the perspective I'm talking about right now, look at all human history, all human news. Everything will fall into place. If you look at it from that particular perspective, it all makes sense globally. It all falls right in. Patrick, what's the good word, buddy? I just felt I should call calling you to speak. Like, I just felt like God saying, Patrick! Is he there? Are we off the air?
No, he's there. He's there. He's on mute.
Oh, he is. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I just had a little message that come to me and say, call on Patrick. He's got something to say about all this. But or add in or chime in. I mean, I don't want to hog it. I just had that one insight that, you know, that it's so interesting how it all came down to that. God versus, you know, no God. You know what I mean? Like, the whole point is to sever the God connection. That's the whole, you know, the whole program. And it's so funny to watch these guys in military uniforms talking about that. That's what they're trying to do. Of course, they're talking about radical Islam when they're talking like that. But you can easily apply it to Christian, Islam, whatever you want. Okay, I guess he's not there. How about you go there? What do you think?
Well, they do that. I mean, like, it's first they need to have a narrative that allows people to have that conversation, and then they turn it on you. So first it's you know, okay, I'll give you another one. First it's tax the rich, but then somehow those taxes just kind of end up falling on you. You know,
did you see what the rapper 50 Cent said? He's now supporting Trump because of the 62% tax on the rich in New York. He's now following Trump.
Well, they don't pay taxes, though. The real rich don't pay any
taxes. No, the real rich don't pay taxes.
No.
The real rich, they do everything through companies, corporations.
Offshore.
Yeah. offshore, a lot of other things that they end up doing. So in the end, you know, the people that pay taxes, it's that upper middle, you know, and well-to-do, but and on down. And a lot of times these kind of things that they do, they just end up, I mean, right now, the billionaire class in the world has been decimated by COVID, and the billionaire class has grown much wealthier. So part of this whole design of this outbreak was to eliminate the millionaire class, to eliminate that middle section, to bring people down. Think about how many businesses, how many industries have been destroyed and collapsed as a result of this pandemic. Not the virus, but the reaction to.
Right.
You know, I want to draw attention to something. So, if you guys saw that Nobel Peace Prize was awarded to the WFP, and they gave out that award, right? Okay, well, in the discussion around that, they talked about how before COVID, there was 135 million people around the world on the brink of starvation. Then after COVID, how there's now 270 million people around the world on the brink of starvation. Now, I just want to do some simple math. If you divide that out by the number of new people on the brink of starvation as a result of the response to COVID, so you take 135 million people and then you just divide that out, you basically end up with 2 million additional people a week starving to death around the world. Now, if you have globally, in the entirety of COVID, a million people purportedly, you know, dying from COVID.
Uh-oh. I think I forgot
the official numbers just for a second. And you've got a million people globally over the course of about a year of this whole thing taking place versus 2 million people a week as a result of the response starving to death. So you can see very quickly that the response has been much worse than the disease.
Yes.
The result and the ramifications of this has been much worse than the disease. Now, one thing is rich people don't starve to death. So, you know, people that have means don't starve to death. So there's a lot of things that people have not made them news items or brought them out to the forefront or brought them into the realm of an uncomfortable narrative becoming part of the conversation because it doesn't potentially affect them. Most people only care about what's within their realm, what's within their realm of possibility. We talked early on about the economic implications before this really got going, warned people about them, but most people were just like, oh, you don't care. You know, how can you? What doesn't mean that you don't care. It means that you see the entirety of a response. You see the interconnectedness and the implications of taking certain actions, because none of these things happen in silos. So when you saw what they were actually doing with the response and the knee-jerk reactions that people were taking, and then you see the economic implications of this around the world and people losing their ways and their means. I mean, we've seen, the energy markets, the stock markets, a number of very good oil companies go bankrupt just because they've not been able to survive the length of the implications from both COVID and the energy wars. Mm-hmm. So you've got that. Then you've got the absolute decimation of human rights and just basic laws and civil liberties. I mean, you're talking about that happening in New Mexico, Zephyr. A lot of places around the world, you've got massive, egregious just violations of human liberties and civil rights.
The people here and
the UN has decided that freedom and your liberties are a construct. Therefore, your permission is not needed. That's what they've decided. That's not,
well, you know, you're seeing the most evil time that has ever been upon the earth come to the surface. And it's pretty much, we need to reference the Bible here for a second, because it says that we will have a tribulation worse than the world's ever seen. Now, in all my life on the earth, I have never seen anything as evil as what I'm seeing now. But this is by a factor of great, you know, many magnitudes more, if I could say it that way, many levels more of evil than I could ever have even imagined. Now, I can see it all because my mind is pretty much acclimated to, you know, to taking all that information, trying to deal with it. So I've never seen anything like this before. And I went through Vietnam. We had the Korean War in my life. We had Vietnam. We had the Cuban Missile Crisis. We had the death of John F. Kennedy. We had, you know, the whole hippie LSD, you know, CIA program to program kids to become, you know, Marxist and whatnot. That was going on back then. I mean, I don't think it's just now, but all this was happening. And, you know, the sort of the hippie cultural revolution, which was basically anti-establishment. It was, you know, a rebuke to the hypocritical establishment, you know, kind of like what's going on now, but more defined, I would say, you know, more specific. It was a military operation. And so we went through that. Then we went through, you know, the recessions and the Russian threat and the end of the Cold War and all these various things. But nothing has become as evil on a global level. Mm-hmm. And also in your own house, you know, where you're actually locked down, you actually experienced the loss of freedom. You know, you experienced it overnight. And then you saw they had no, that some of us said in the beginning, they have no intention of ever letting you back out. And people used to look at me like, oh, come on, you're just being negative. I said, no, they're never, once they've got you down in that, you know, house arrest and mask and all that, they're not ever going to let you back out again. You would have to fight for it, and many people would have to die, unfortunately.
Do not acquiesce.
Yeah, because they have armies, you know, and people that, you know, kill people on their side. So if they don't comply, right now they're trying an experiment in Las Vegas, New Mexico, where they have it under lockdown. They're going to just see, you know, bringing the police in now. And so right now it's writing these tickets for people without masks, basically on the outside. In other words, if you're in the square, you're walking around or whatever without a mask, they're going to be roving the streets looking for you. In a kind of a soft martial law.
Can I ask a question? If there's somebody in the chat, or if there's any of you guys that have any legal background or legal framework understanding. Yeah. But so here's a question. If somebody tries to write you a ticket, can you get them to sign something at the same time that they try to write you a ticket, which basically just says that they are being instructed by the state to issue you a citation? And go into a little bit of despite the questions about particular things like the efficacy of masks, the question about it, the health concerns around wearing something like that, that it doesn't prevent this type of disease, and that it could actually, right now, some of the stats are out there that people that wear the masks actually are more likely to get different types of infections than people that don't. But you can go into, but if you can get something for these guys to sign that are your deciding officers, that they're acting on behalf of, under the mandate of the state, because I think you can probably go back when the dust starts to settle a bit on this and file action and file suit against these same people.
You have to get, you got to get the case out of the state and into the federal system and
because
judges, or else you're going to...
Well, the first thing to understand about the mask mandate is it's a mandate, which means it's not a law. If it was a law, it would come under attack legally. So they want to skip that and just make it a mandate, so it's something you should do because they say you should do it, but that's not a legal law. It's not a legal law.
Can they ticket you? Can they give you a citation?
I would think they could.
That's what they're starting in Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Well,
say
if they start, because here's the thing: if they start to fine you and you start challenging these fines, Or better yet, you start suing them in federal court and they start losing massive litigation lawsuits for violations of civil rights and civil liberties, and these gross overreaches, and this starts becoming public knowledge, those things will stop very quickly. It's usually when these things are not challenged. Now here's the thing, you still have the ability in the U.S. to do this. There's a lot of places around the world that things are at a gunpoint right now, and we don't have, it's more difficult in some places in the world to do these kind of things. But in the States, you still have the ability to mobilize, to bring things together, to record the information, to organize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this is something that you know, look at it collectively. I mean, this World Doctors Alliance, they've done a great service by mobilizing. Mm-hmm. You know, the individual doctor's voice is one thing, and a lot of those people got silenced. But now when you start having hundreds and thousands of doctors around coming together saying, look, we are trained medical professionals, and this is our medical, not just opinion, but our facts and our understanding, having studied this now for the better part of a year, here is our conclusion on the matter. And other people say, yes, we agree with that. Mm-hmm. And they have a consensus. Now to sideline those voices and to censor those voices,
and they are censoring.
But to do that one, it reveals, but also it is a public disservice to keep that kind of knowledge. It's an act and an action against public health. It is an act and an action against anything that's good, that is trying to come out to try to help in this particular situation. So we also start to see the collaborative effort, the hidden hand, the not so hidden anymore, by the way.
No,
the hidden hand is not hidden at all. Yeah. It's out of the code. It's in it's right flailing all over the place trying to do something. There's no hidden hand.
The UN is calling all the shots, and you know what? We should just withdraw from the UN and stop giving them any money at all. Because right now, if you post anything on Twitter or Facebook or anything that goes against what the UN is saying, you know, like I posted that Second Doctors Forum yesterday, and Facebook puts up a thing, oh, this is not going along with what we think. I mean, you can still post it.
They're the Chinese model. Facebook and Twitter and Google. That's the Chinese model, and you know, there's other, you know, rumors and things about Chinese troops being here and being in Canada and being in Mexico and being on the West Coast, ready to invade, and also arming all the insurrection groups right now.
BLM and Antifa.
Fresh AR-15s. And so the next time you see them marching around, they're all going to be armed. And, you know, the people will get shot, obviously. So there's that threat if they, if Trump is elected somehow with all the, everything they're doing to prevent that, if anything like that happens or gets close to happening, they say they're going to just start shooting random people in the street and that the police won't do anything about it. So, you know, this, again, this is the most evil situation that I have ever seen in my life. Nothing ever in all the things I mentioned that happened in my life, nothing has come close to this or even touched upon it. I guess, well, maybe some things kind of, but nothing really overt like this, where there's a lockdown and there's martial law, and there's, you know, really brutal enforcement if you don't comply, and then forced vaccinations, forced this, forced that, forced behaviors. Culling people based on their behavior, based on a political party, let's say, based on something they said on Facebook or something they said somewhere, or overhearing people's conversations, rumors, tattling on people, tattling on neighbors, and just generally combing.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people have embraced that tattletale thing. You know, really.
Right, very many tattletales here. If you go into a Walmart without a mask on, you'll have all these people tattling to the manager. They'll be running to the manager, pointing at you and screaming, kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And then if you look at these people in the eye, you know, which a lot of you people that have had issues with gang stalking, now you should be happy, at least in this regard. It's all out of the closet. It's all in your face. And everyone's being, anyone who doesn't comply is being gang stalked right now. You know, they're being, their address is being kept, their information is being kept. They're being targeted, literally. So you guys have all been vindicated, all right? You've been vindicated. You're not nuts. You're not schizophrenics. You're not psychotic. Everything that you were thinking, you're not paranoid. It was true what happened to you. And, yes, they do use frequencies and weapons and direct energy weapons and all this stuff, but it's going main. As I've always said, one day it will go mainstream, and that happens to coincide perhaps with the Great Tribulation, if this is that. This certainly qualifies, folks, those of you who have been, you know, studied Bible prophecy, this certainly qualifies, you know, in a lot of ways, you know, for the Great Tribulation, you know, in terms of the kind of evil that we're seeing that we haven't seen. Even Jesus' prophetic statement, you know, that he'd have to return because there'd be no, if he doesn't cut the time, there would be nothing left. Everyone would be dead upon the earth. It certainly looks like that's what they're going for.
They're trying,
you know,
to
mass extinction of humans. And this is one point I don't want to lose today. It's not like you have a choice or a life anymore, you know, where you're going to lead your life and this and that. What we're having to look at now is survival versus extinction. And I think the one good thing about that right now, about expanding our awareness as God is doing, is that we have more in common, you know, as humans together against this giant beast than we have bickering about, you know, stupid things. Now would be the time to get together and go, you know what, brother, sister, we got to survive. You know what I mean? I hope, you know, we've got to survive. This is about, instinct. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that we've also seen is the weaponization of what we call divide and control, and the usage of that through these forms of things like social media. I mean, Zeph, you've talked before about you felt like a frequency on there when you're inside some of these platforms and what it feels like, and just depressing. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's something. There's the by design, these things are set up to bring people to a place of fever-pitched division with each other, where they would never have that type of an interaction if they were face-to-face with people. And I've seen it where, you know, there's been people that maybe have a very heated discussion with me online, but then when they see me, they're, you know, very passive, very nice. Yeah. You might have some conversation, but they're civil. So the platforms have been set up to weaponize the divide and conquer programming. Now, we talked about this a long time ago on some of our shows. At the height of the British Empire, they were controlling the entire nation of India with 3,000 troops. So you've got a billion people under the thumb of an invading, occupying force that only needs to put a token of troops in a country to control it, because they got the people fighting against each other. And you're absolutely right. If we start looking at what we have in common, it's far more that humanity has in common with each other than they do against each other.
Exactly.
But what they do is they weaponize the minute micro differences, and they make sure that people don't see the similarities and the places where we actually have agreement. You know, even if there's some issues that come up, right? Some things that are there. That what they'll do is they'll get people to be at each other's throats over a technical execution, and fail to understand that we kind of agree in essence, in principle, about the same things. So for example, let's even take this COVID thing. Well, in general, the general public would like to be healthy. The general public would like to not die prematurely. The general public would like to be able to live out their lives as best as they possibly can. So there's an absolute agreement among those that are human around this issue. Now, what they get people weaponized against each other on is what that looks like. And so they get them divided and sometimes even fed different sets of information to reinforce a divided program. So they'll get one set of people to focus on one set of information and another set of people to focus on another set of information, and then they let them go at each other. And you've got to realize how you're being gamed in order to understand that it's the guy that's gaming you that you should be looking at. It's the guy it's the people that are, because they're the ones that have an agenda. Mm-hmm. And they're draining your life force, they're draining your energy, they're draining your time, they're draining your resource, while the whole time they're draining you and siphoning off of you, they have us looking at our neighbor warring against them when we don't need to. We're actually on the same page. We're actually it's just maybe a little bit of a difference of opinion of how we get to a shared result that we actually all want. You know, if we actually boiled it down and brought it out of what we all really care about, it's very likely 90% the same things across the board for people that are human on this planet. And I need to make that distinction because, like you said, Zeph, there are people here that are not human. 100% agree with that as well. There's a lot of people walking around that if you could see in just one click dimension, one way either side, a little bit higher or lower in the frequency ranges, you would see that they are not us. We are not human.
Yeah.
And so there's a reason this is called the Human 2020 Initiative.
They're like the way they are is like minders. They're like they're like agents of AI, you know, going around like they're transceivers, you know, and they observe people around them or in their families or wherever they are, where they infiltrate. And then that information goes through them like a computer, like they're a computer, to the mainframe, you know, to the main center. I guess the destiny of those people is that, they have to figure out if you're a threat or not to this plan, which is, I think it's really simple. There's a plan to mark every single man, woman, and child, i.e. to enslave them, to the beast, and that if you take this mark, you know, you're not, you know, your DNA, you become there's a hybridization plan to take all these souls away from, you know, the creator to make you into something else. And it's not so, you know, it's also very evil in the sense that, you know, people that are looked up to in our society, like Elon Musk, who wants to hook us up to a Neuralink, where like they have a chip in your head that connects up to AI, you know. I mean, how is that any different, you know, when you think about it? That's yet everybody kind of worships the ground that Elon Musk walks on. And if he tells you to get this Neuralink or teaches you that you could bionically upgrade your body and live like a young person again, wouldn't you like that? Well, you'd have people lined up. They'd be selling like hotcakes. I mean, you'd be people lining up around the block to get that, to get that youth back again, you know, that elixir. Yeah, I have another thing that's bothering me, though, about the president, and I just have to get this sort of off my chest. I just want to see what you guys think. And that is that I had heard that he had, and I'm just trying to verify what source that was, that he had, it just kind of came out. I don't know if he said it or someone said it. Maybe you guys could chime in on this, but that he had a transfusion along with that Regeneron with his cocktail. And I'm trying to figure out whether that had any kind of that quantum dot situation in it, and the transfusion that he said he felt like he felt better than he felt 20 years ago. And that's a feeling that people report when they have a transfusion of blood. I'm just wondering, you know, it's something that, you know, it's a check I have. You know, I'm not going to start screaming about it or anything. I don't, you know, that's this big conflict we have in this country, which is, you know, basically people are ready to kill each other over, you know, getting rid of Trump or not getting rid of him or something. I mean, there's a big war brewing over that. But aside from that, what I'm saying is overlook all that. I don't really, you know, I just can't go there right now. It's just too depressing. So I'm looking at this this idea of a transfusion, and I'm just wondering –
you know, he felt so good. He was out of that COVID thing in 48 hours or something, and he was doing two campaigns a day, flying all over the place. Everyone says, boy, that energy, that's really something. I mean, you know, I'm just wondering. You know what I mean? I'm not making any accusation right now, but I'm just wondering if you think that if the treatment he had was okay. Anybody, you know, anyone have an opinion on that? Silence.
No, I don't. I mean, for me, I don't know. I mean, I saw that, you know, that I saw that tweet where he did mention that. And, but yeah, I don't have any additional information on that outside. I mean, I hope nobody's messing around with his healthcare. I hope that they screen the people that are that close to him and have that level of access to him, that they're doing things that are in line with, you know, his own wishes as a patient. You know, I hope that they didn't do something with or to him that is against his will. But yeah, I mean, I did see that, and that was an interesting way that he described how he was feeling afterwards.
And also that Celeste Salom woman, she mentioned that too, that she had questions about what exactly they did to him. That she felt that, you know, they had endangered him.
I almost felt like they
him.
Did the same thing to Hillary Clinton before she came out for that last debate wearing all white. How she was, like, stumbling around and coughing and could barely get around. All of a sudden she's beaming, you know, and it was like, what happened there? And then you start thinking about blood, you know. Is that, you know, people think about, well, adrenochrome.
A lot of wealthy people do the transfusions from the blood of children and stuff.
Right. It's legal.
It goes on, you know, and apparently it is very invigorating, but I don't think, I really just, in my heart, I just don't think Trump did that. I just don't.
Well, he said he had a transfusion, I guess, so I just wonder what that was all about, if that was part of the treatment for the COVID or not, because it just seemed to me that it's one thing to have the Regeneron, which is to take... you know, to create the monoclonal antibodies to the, you know, put that into your bloodstream. It's another thing to have new blood put in the bloodstream along with everything else. And it's almost like he just had no disease. Is everybody here? Is Patrick here? I don't.
Yeah, hear. A message. He's online, but he's not responding.
Is there a reason for that?
Charles, are you there?
Is Charles?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Try check. But just to say one quick point, I mean, back in the days when I used to, when I was an athlete and I was training, I mean, at certain levels in athletics, there's even things where guys would, I mean, I never did this, but I've heard of this where, you know, athletes would, during heavy training time, they would take, you know, maybe some blood out. And then when they're getting close to big races, and they've got that that of their own blood, they would put it back in, and that would be, you know, a way that they would get increased oxygenation in their system. So, I mean, there's probably a lot of things that happen in the world of you know, those are people that are even using their own blood, but there's probably a lot of things that happen in and around blood that are just medical practices. But, you know, between something that is, you know, medical practice to something that's nefarious, you know, there is definitely a line that people cross.
Like adrenochrome is one of those lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they torture. They want the tortured blood. They want the blood of frightened, tortured people, young people, and that. You know, you look in their eyes, all these people that are, you can tell that they're on this because their eyes are just, they're demonic.
Yeah, when you see the bugged out eyes, it sort of kind of goes along with that almost. It's just a weird psychotic. I used to think it was because of psychotropic drugs like, you know, like Zoloft and drugs like that that are, you know, have been known to make people either suicidal or even homicidal. But this idea that, you know, the bugged out eyes come from, you know, just, you know, adrenochrome and people that basically become demonic. I can even see becoming demonic from demons and then having your eyes bug out because of that. But that's going on a lot. It's like I say, it's the most evil time. I don't know how we're going to get from here, say, through January 1st. How about you? I mean, it just seems like our awareness continues to expand. And that's one thing I have noticed, that awareness is expanding and deprogramming is going on. So the Almighty has got his hand on this situation, and I believe he's going to, somehow pull his people out or pull his people to safety or even within our confines of our, where we are, you know, our domiciles, that he's going to pull us up and out of the danger of being programmed. I feel that he's done that with me. I just don't feel I can be programmed, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel less programmed now than I've ever felt. You know, I still had some programming going on about, you know, some illusions or delusions about, you know, countries and sovereignty and presidents and congresses, and, you know, then you get to the point where you realize there's something else, not just a hidden hand, but an overt hand that's really running the show, and that it's ultimately a spiritual battle that we face every day. But it's just so in your face right now. It's just so, it's just so
and
massive. Hey,
Patrick!
And Zeph, yes, I'm right here. And Zeph, you're right. And listen to you guys, it's, I think, like I often say, like, especially what's going on now, it's what the Lord wants. It's to show people really what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's to show people what's truly happening. I think you guys were talking about, you know, like people want to get the edge of hedge, like, you know, meaning like people are on the, you know, they change their, not change their blood, but amplify their blood and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. All these things, and even when athletes do it, or, you know, they're on different substances, it doesn't really, at the moment it's good, but they're always going to keep on taking it. And that's right, what's right. Really killing you. It kills you at the end, because you become dependent to that, literally, right? You are dependent to that. And just like, like they put in books, vampires, right? They constantly need to feed, you know,
yeah,
with blood or whatever. And that's the difference with us. We don't need that.
It's our source is the Lord. That's it. That's all you need.
The source is the Lord, and that's where we gain our strength. But more
Amen.
And more people are going to see, like, all these things
Amen.
That I was addicted to, all these things that I was, that I needed to survive, and, you know, I got to go back to the Lord. And that's going to push people back to the Lord. That's what's happening, too. People are pushed back out to the Lord because they've tried everything. And you know what? What happened with COVID and what happened with COVID, it changed everything. One thing. And nobody thought about, you know, nobody thought what could have happened with COVID, but it did happen. Businesses closed, people are stuck at home, and I mean, you guys seen what happened with Australia, and I think Wales now, you know, they're full lockdown. You can only be with people inside your house. Like, this is a big change, you know, a massive change. And the more people are seeing that over, like, you know, around the world, the more they're becoming
it's human
relying on the Lord.
It's torture. It's actually a form of torture, what they're doing to us.
Psychological torture.
Psychological.
You're right.
It's also human torture to not be able to make a living and to not be able to have any human contact. We need human contact. A lot of times, you know, I'll tell you, my life is enriched by people I know, like having this group right here, you know, being able to, you know, interact with people. But I also need to see them once in a while or see somebody, because otherwise,
exactly,
it's horrifying if it's just me, myself, and I. I just can't, you know. So we all need that. And it's just very interesting watching it. Sometimes, Patrick, I feel like they don't really know what they're doing, you know. And then other times I feel like, oh, my God, it's all precise. They have this plan rolled out for hundreds of years. sometimes it looks like they don't know what they're doing, and other times it looks like this has been the plan all along. And I kind of go back and forth on that. It's weird. You know, it looks like, oh, they're just making that up, or they're just, oh, they just decided last week to make people wear masks. They were going back and forth on it in the beginning. It wasn't really part of the original plan.
Yep.
You know, but then all of a sudden it's like now people are saying, oh, they always want you in masks. And I'm wondering, you know, but no, there seemed to be confusion there in the beginning on their part.
But that's part of chaos, and that's part of this entire thing.
Yeah.
That's part of the chaos, but it's part of what's going on. It's part of, like, I'm not sure if they 100% know what's going on, or because things are actually, I think things are actually backfiring. Things are, every move they make, it seems that more people are waking up.
I think so too.
You know, every move they make, it's like they think, okay, let's do this, and then this is going to work. And then, boom, more people are waking up. And it's, yeah. I mean, when you have, and I saw that the other day, a while ago, feminist group fighting with transgender group, like,
that's
you know there's an issue. You know there's an issue. Like, so, and also, they can't come back. They can't reverse it. They cannot reverse it. I mean, the other day, a couple of days ago, the WHO came out and said that lockdown don't work. They said that.
Yeah,
they,
exactly.
And they kept
said,
us
hey,
locked down.
Lockdown don't work.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now people even have that, it's worse because the quote-unquote experts are saying that now, but it's still locking down. So that means people, you know, the power to be in each country are really, they're really not even using the expert advice. They just want to gain more power. But
yeah,
that is the problem.
It's
a travesty. A lot of people are seeing.
Really.
People are seeing that. Like, you know, even when they had a couple of days ago, these doctors came up and said, you know, hey, you know what, we're thousands of doctors, we believe in this, you know, lockdown don't work, masks don't work. It's, you know, it's a divider and everything else like that. It's out there now. It's out there. Like, there's a
and the big tech and their banning of all the truthful information is kind of backfiring too, because
we're still
talking about it. We're still getting it out there.
People wonder how come you're not gone, Z? And I said, I think it's because I've stayed low. Like, I don't have really a very high numbers, so I'm kind of like below the radar. I think they look at how many followers you have and how much influence that you may have. They don't necessarily look at you know,
content.
This is like a little boutique outfit here, and but because of that, we may be allowed to operate into the really deep into the tribulation. We may be able to really get be there when, you know, we may be like a radio, you know, spiritual free radio.
The voice
for spiritual radio, where people are really looking for answers right now. People are tuning in. I get new listeners all the time.
I just reread The Voice yesterday, Zeph's screenplay that we're thinking about making next, and it's just so timely, so timely.
Well, all that is
for what we're going through right now.
Here's the thing.
But also,
go ahead.
But also, you know, we talk about big tech. You know, big tech, at the end of the day, I think that word got publicized, the big tech, because, yes, they may be in control right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like Govinda talked often about, if tomorrow 50% of the people on Twitter decide, you know what, I'm going to shut down my account. I'm going to go to a different platform or use something else. And if tomorrow 50% of the people drop the Facebook account, now they lost power over 50% of their followers.
Yeah.
And,
there are lots of new platforms
popping up. So I think people are going to be like, you know what? I'm tired of this. Just like what happened with Netflix and everything else. There was that show that, they people disagree with, which I disagree also, and people have they changed their, they canceled their membership.
You still have the right to cancel your membership. I mean, that was a right that you reserved. You were free to say no, and they're not forcing you to take Netflix into your home.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, there's,
it's really that.
I spent months on Netflix trying to find something to watch. I realized how they tricked me. They get me to watch 10 minutes of everything, looking for something to watch, and then they've basically controlled my time, hours and hours, searching for something decent to look at. And every once in a while, I'll find a movie or find a program, or, you know, I'll find something.
Netflix did have an important documentary recently about. I haven't seen it, but I've read about it. About the control.
It's called Social Dilemma.
Yeah, Social Dilemma. That was
right. Yeah. It's funny. I just was looking at my 10 minutes. I looked at 10 or 15 minutes of the remake of Fahrenheit 451. It was 451 made in 2018, and you know, it was. I was really interested in the technology they had going in the movie, you know, because I've got something kind of similar coming up, so I was kind of, you know, fascinated with that, and, you know, it wasn't bad, but that's all about, you know, so ironic, because you'd think of Netflix being leftist, let's say, you know, liberal outfit.
And yet that was
And yet back in the day, those books like Fahrenheit 451, 1984, Animal House, all these books that are banned right now, Catcher in the Rye, were all written by liberals. And they were, and the liberal was trying to keep, in fact, in 2018, Fahrenheit 451, which was a novel by Ray Bradbury, the Star Trek guy. So that was written way back when to warn people about, you know, the totalitarian regimes that he saw coming in the future, that it would be banning ideas and banning books and banning statues and banning libraries, you know, that whole thing. And yet the very people that are involved in doing all the banning right now are the very people just 2 years ago who were pushing those ideas, you know, that we question our society, that we question authority, that was the liberal stance. How confusing it must be for people today to be liberal, meaning, you know, free thinking, it used to be. And, you know, liberal meaning I want to be free to read the books I want to read, even if they're subversive. That the government shouldn't ban those. And now they're calling for banning everything and the government to lock down everything and putting everyone in jail and shooting people that don't think the way they do. It's like, wait a second, these people used to be 180 degrees opposite of the way they are now today. Mm-hmm. Now something big happened to them. Is this? And then I started thinking, wow, programming is very powerful. You get these people in 2018, they're producing Fahrenheit 451, which is, you know, the they would ban today. And here they are just 2 years later, not even 2 years, and they're completely opposite of the way they were just 18 months ago. Isn't that strange?
It's very strange, but you think, I don't know if it was programming or whatnot, or it was also the fact of, you know what, it was part of the plan. You know, for some reason, we're seeing all these things, you know, in front of our eyes developing, and it's like unfolding, and it's, and some people are going to believe it, but also a lot of people were getting prepped for that. Because you know what? The past 5 or 6 years, if it's more than that, there's been so much more show about prepping and doing this and getting ready. And that's why I say it's going to be tough, because if a lot of people have been, some are prepping, and, you know, they can't burn all the books. They can, you know, it's going to be difficult. It's a difficult, especially in North America. You know,
they want to burn especially the books. Yeah, they do want to burn the books.
But it's going to be difficult, because now you see, you know, on TV, like people can clearly see, like, oh, they're saying this, but it's not true. The truth is that, right? But they keep on telling you the truth, like it's like no.
And one thing too, since you know everybody's been locked out of school, and the parents are becoming aware of what they're teaching the children, and they're like, no, I'm going to homeschool instead. You know, this is ridiculous.
Right, but I mean, you know, the kids today
that,
like that.
That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you, guys. Like, it's every move that they make, and there's a term for that. There's a chess term. It's called Zoom Wang, and every they've made a move a long time ago, and every move after that is weakening them, right?
Gotcha.
Just like you said, Trish, right? It's like, you know, they shut down the school, and now the parents realize, what are they really learning? Like, they're not learning what I want them to learn. You know what? Let me try maybe homeschooling.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then kids don't go back to school. Like, so now they lost control of the one kid or the multiple of these students because they're like, oh, you know what? Everything I want them to learn, they're learning.
Yeah.
Look at universities, the same thing. People are going to start walking away like, okay, why do I need to go to like universities?
Yeah,
there's no reason now. But
Steve Pachetik has been talking about that for years, how the universities are basically, it's over for them. It's over.
Right. You know how funny that the original purpose of the university was to teach the Bible in America, you know? And it's so funny how it's become, and the kids are like, in school, they have them recite things like, oh, say against like you know, Trump supporters or like the Bible or Jesus, or there's a whole list of things that the kids have to repeat what the teacher says, and they all have to do, like the Pledge of Allegiance. Only it's, you know, I pledge allegiance to China, or I pledge allegiance to banning all the books, or I pledge allegiance to you know destroying Trump supporters. I pledge allegiance to whatever. And these causes were never part of anything, you know, I would say liberal or left. These are the things of totalitarianism, of George Orwell, of Aldous Huxley, of, you know, of Ray Bradbury, and some of these great writers who foresaw this, this scientific dictatorship type of, you know, this technocratic future that we have that we've launched into. And, you know, people that I used to think are smart, they're still thinking in carnal terms. They're not thinking in technological or spiritual terms about the ramifications of all the things going on now and what it would eventually be, which would be, I mean, it's easy for me to see, but it's not easier for, you know, I think anybody here can see it, that they're launching into a post-human world where depopulation is a big part of it. And the starvation that's going on in the third world right now is a big part of the plan. They know if they lock down us, that there'll be 200 million people starved to death. And they know this, and yet when I try to explain this to a New Mexican, all I have is, I don't have, or Texan, or, you know, I just have my little area I live in. They start laughing at me. They laugh, and they laugh, and they laugh. And they just say, you know, they start personally insulting you. They just say, wear your mask and stay home. I say, yeah, that was the first 14 days. What do you call this? Wear your mask and stay home. And they repeat the mantra. They repeat the mantra. And they're marching around like zombies, you know, ready to kill people.
Yeah, remember when the big thing
I'm
was
just doing
flatten
my
the curve. Flatten the curve.
I'm just doing
flatten
my
the
job.
Curve.
I have to give you this ticket because you didn't wear a mask. Or I have to kick you off this plane because you pulled your mask down to eat something and you didn't do it at the right moment or in the right
manner.
And
you happen to be wearing a blacks for Trump
therefore, we're
hat.
Going to land the plane and kick you off of it. Because we must get control of, we must tame all of you. We must have all of you comply. This is like something out of any of these sci-fi. There's another one I was thinking of, another... it was a movie with Ethan Hawke, and I just really can't remember the name. Was it called... I can't remember the name of it, but some of you will remember and let me know.
You know, but, you know, Zeph,
yeah,
it's interesting. It's interesting you bring this up because I remember, I can tell you, at least 6-7 years ago when Brother Thomas came on your show.
Yeah.
And talked. And you know what? If you can pull that, I think it was like 2 or 3 shows. And it was like, it's more than 7 years ago.
Yes, it was.
He talked about that.
He did.
And he talked about, the infiltration and what's going to happen.
Yep.
And most people that listen to
the guy
that
nailed it.
I was worried about it in grade school, personally.
When he brought up, he had been studying this communism and this whole infiltration of America for years before we had him on the show. And he also had prophetic gifts, he's doing music now, but he has these prophetic gifts as well. And he sort of combined those, and we became friends back then because, I was out there without any help, and he kind of had my back at one time when they were just attacking me right and left, right about 2004. I was like, it was just like they were after me, and he'd have my back, and they'd yell at me, they'd say something and some insulted, and he'd go after them. So that's kind of how we met, and then had him on the show, of course, and he kept saying. And so, what about the Patriots? Aren't they going to launch a counterstrike against this whole thing? They're going to put up a valiant fight, a valiant struggle, he says. But ultimately, this New World Order is going to win, at least in this period of time. But he also compared that to the Bible. And in the Bible, the prophecy is that they do achieve, for a very brief time, they achieve a kind of a success, where they do mark everybody, and they do get control of the nations, and we do have the rise of Antichrist and the abomination of desolation, like spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and we do have this thing that happens, but very shortly after that, the whole thing falls apart, and that's called the mighty, fierce day of the Lord, when the Lord returns with, and also during that period leading up to that, conquering of everything. There are great plagues, and there's great, biblical level locusts we've had. We've had plagues, collapses of things. But it isn't until Revelation 18 where we have the actual fall of commerce, the fall of Babylon. This happens right at the very end. This collapse of our financial situation and everybody sort of, waking up, and where God says, don't worry. Separate yourselves from Babylon. Separate yourselves from the whore. So you're not counted, worthy of the punishment she'll have. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But separate yourselves because and rejoice. He says rejoice because the Lord your God has avenged you on her. Meaning all the blood of the prophets and all the blood of the innocents and all the children. Because, don't think just recently they discovered, cannibalizing children. No, that's been part of their cult. They have had this cannibal cult for thousands of years. And, the Lord says he will avenge. One of the things the Lord's going to avenge is all the blood that cries up from the ground of children. And they had, aborting babies, post-birth abortions, and sacrificing those babies to Molech back in those days. And he's going to avenge all of it one day. It's going to be, all of it's going to be brought into view. And then Jesus said, whatever has been hidden will be seen by everybody. So in a sense, none of us has any excuse. We're going to have to make some kind of decision. Now, my vote for me is eternal life in Christ. With our Father, with our Creator. That's my home. That's where my friends are. That's where, and if I stray too far away from that,
Amen.
How I feel? Amen. I feel like, at odds with everything. And when I'm closer, I feel a joy in my heart, inside myself. But when I'm distracted by the world and I get all caught up with trying to fight all that myself, which I can't do, it's too big. Or if I feel like I don't know how it is when you feel like you've gotten too far away. Boy, I don't like the feeling in my heart, in my head. Boy, I don't like that feeling. You know what I mean? And when I'm closer, I love that feeling of just being able to relax.
And that's exactly that. Exactly that, Jeff. You're going more towards the Lord. You are And that's what, and I could probably speak for people in America. Like when the economy's going, things are going, you think that much about the Lord? once things are breaking down and when new ideology is knocking on your door or is in your house, now you're like, Lord, I need you. And that's pushing a lot of people towards him.
All eyes on God right now.
A lot of people.
All eyes on the Lord, right? This, all this tribulation, what's it done, Patrick? It's caused all of us to really keep our eyes on the Lord this time and not just drift around.
And even for the people that are listening that are, you know, that they don't really know the Lord or they don't, you know, now it's the time just to give your life to him, because I always say, this is the best deal
you're ever going to get.
Ever going to make. This is the best deal. Because you know what? Yeah, you may go through some heat right now. You may go to some hungers, and cold or too hot. But when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, Zeph, and I talk to people about this, is, you know what? When it's all said and done, it even says in the Word, you know, one day in heaven, it's better than 1,000 years on earth. Right?
Amen.
By the time it's all said and done and we all go, by the time we turn our head right or left, we're all going to be beside each other and smiling and worshiping the Lord, right? Like, it is real. It is real. And it's not to scare people. No, it's to encourage people. You should be encouraged. It's like, you know what? Lord, I am with you. I trust you, Lord. Today, I'm going to need to drink water. Where do I find that water?
Yes,
right? Mm-hmm. Like, and you trusted him to speak to you.
Yeah.
Speak to you, like, on a personal level.
Yeah.
It's not just like, it's not just like us talking and then, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, it's for you to go to him, to go to source itself. To go to source itself. Because, you know, he's calling you all the time, but you may not hear him until something's happening. And you're like, oh, I'm going to be attentive to this. What's going on? Or what? I'm so depressed. I don't know what to do. And you can turn.
That's me. That's me. Well, you know, because we're hanging by a thread here. I mean, you know, any kind of bad storm could wipe us out. A bad pandemic, a real one, you know, could kill us all. War, you know, anything could break out and happen at any given time. So none of us has security here except for the Almighty God. That's the only security anyone's ever going to have.
Yes, exactly. And you know, it is a lot more easier to go on your knees, because I've been at this, at this place. To go, it's a lot more easy to go on your knees when you're at the end of the role and you don't know where else to turn. Going on your knees is a lot more easier when everything is rolling and everything is good. Because, you know, it doesn't do that.
You realize you can't. You cannot control your life. You think for a while you can, because it looks like, you know, maybe you're getting a paycheck and you got a little bank account, you're going to have a vacation, kids are going to school, you know, there's a routine, right? A lot of times we think a routine means you're safe. And we learned with this COVID thing that no routine is, everyone's routine is now, you know, thrown up in the air. There is no routine. I have noticed people that have that do have a little ritual, you know, a little routine, a little something. Like, say they get into the Word in the morning, let's say about 4 or 5 o'clock, they go to the Bible and they get a Word. Go, I know this is what our friend Larry does. He gets in there and he gets a Word going early, before he does anything else. You know what I mean? Just the first part of the morning. And that's like when I do the Zeph Report. Do it the first thing in the morning when I do it. You know, just have that clarity. Because God won't take second. That's where the inspiration's going to come. And a lot of times he'll write it out and then share it with us. You know, those people that want to be emailed. And share that word that he received. And usually, I mean, almost, I'd say 99% of the time, maybe even more, I feel like that word that I hear him speak and that I read, it resonates with me exactly. It's like, wait a second, brother, you're writing that word for me personally, but it was for him, and yet it speaks to all of us. It's strange how someone can get a word. Now that's a prophetic gift right there that he does. So when you have a prophetic gift, like you just know, like I knew you were going to say something today, Patrick, and I was calling for you just because the Lord was telling me that you had some kind of word for us. And so I was like, Patrick, and then he was like, silence. It's like, where'd he go? You know? And then he spoke, but then you finally started speaking, and then you had it. You laid it on us. I mean, you know, your voice, your countenance, the way you spoke today, I totally felt the Spirit on this thing, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and you know what? It's all of us. It's all of us coming together and doing this. That's exactly what they don't want people to do, to come together and pray. They don't want to come together and, you know, share the word. You know, doing those things, sharing the gospel, the good news. This is it, because you know what? What we're doing right now, and even when people are going to listen to it later on or in a year or in a month, it doesn't matter. They're going to be at a place where, you know, their spirit is going to be low. Their own frequency within is going to be low. They listen to that and they get encouraged. And, you know, it gives them hope. Because, I mean, when we look at you guys are talking about the vaccine earlier. It changes your DNA. It changes this. Ultimately, they want to control your mind, so you don't go to the Lord anymore.
Yep.
That's what it is, right there, what you just said.
They do not want, because Amen. You know what? You are so strong. And I was talking to a friend earlier about this. It was one of the most expensive things within you, you know, besides biological, it's your soul. It's your soul. And I know people sometimes they're like, okay, yeah, you know, but what they don't understand is this: is that your soul is worth so much, and you're so powerful. When Jesus talked about, you know, with the faith of the mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Mm-hmm. That's literally true. Like, people need to understand. Like, when you look at Jesus, you know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, and the soldier came and picked him up, and you know, he just gave himself up, and Peter Peter pulled his knife and sliced the one of the soldier's ears, and he took it and put it back. Like, this is like, when you look at this, right? Like, he put it back, and that's little, you know. Somebody cut your ear, somebody else take it and puts it back. That soldier, if you think about that soldier, he's like, hey man, I got literally stabbed, my ears got cut off, somebody else put it together. How did this happen? Who was that person that did that to me? And I was arresting them. Think about this. Right now, somebody is getting arrested, and you're not supposed to do it as a mob of people. Somebody else comes and shoots a cop in the head, right? And whoever is being arrested, put his hand on a cop's head, and he stands up again, and he lives and moves again like nothing ever happened. That's an impact on people. The same thing happened when, and I think I was talking to Govinda about this, about the worker, when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, they didn't count women. But when you look at this, right, that's real. Like, and I know it's reported into the Bible, but there's other people that reported that were non-Christian or non-believer, I should say. Because when they didn't realize, here we have, and I always make those three fish and five loaves of bread, however, how are we going to feed all these people? Jesus said, just bring them here. Prayed over it, and people went, put their hand in the basket, and grab a fish and grab a loaf of bread. And if, let's say me and you were there, we'd be like, even if we're non-believers, like, okay, well, let's do the line. And we take our fish, we take a loaf of bread. All of a sudden, 5,000 people are eating, and you're like, how is this happening? We didn't have enough before. How does everybody eat? But that's factual. It's actually recorded. This happened, right? And it's like, but that's the Lord for us. That's what he does. That's exactly what he does.
He restores us. And he makes all things restores. New. Yeah. He.
Yes.
We have an eternal restoration where we are eternal beings having this experience. He restores us to our natural eternal self that he made for himself, yes. and then we are, then we are restored. We are home. We are in our true home. And our true home. Someone says, "Well, this is home." When I hear the word home, I think of, well, it's comfortable and warm, and there's provision there, and it's not going to change. Well, we know that our homes go up and down and up and down, and sometimes they confiscate your home, and you know, you don't have any security. But when you're there, home, it's forever. But forever is like 1 second. It's like time doesn't really exist. It's just like, to me, it's like euphoria. There's a euphoria when you feel like everything is wonderful. You know, it's inside of you. You know, your whole body tingles with euphoria.
You know, even in a personal level, so let's take away the Bible, let's take away some of these stories, right?
Yeah.
These events, I should say, not story. But this happens with me and you on a personal level. I remember when my mom was sick, dying of cancer, she was literally on her deathbed, literally, and I still remember that so clearly, literally, on her deathbed, she had like hours or days to live, literally. Like, it was just like I was, and I remember speaking to you, and we prayed for her, and you weren't even there. We just prayed. You prayed. We prayed. And my sister will tell me the story. She's like, I was in a hospital. Mom was just literally dying, just waiting for her to die. It was at night. My sister said, it was kind of nighttime. She sat down. She closed her eyes. By the time she opened her eyes again, it couldn't have been more than 40 minutes. My mom was worshiping, standing up on her own. Like, literally, this is a fact. This is a fact, right?
Right.
So, if the Lord can
do that, praise God.
He gave her another year to live, speak with people. And that year, she was so powerful. Speaking to people and speaking to people about the Lord. And you know, but that moment,
mm-hmm.
at that moment, the Lord told her, stand up. He can do that. That's why I tell people, like, you kids are amazed. If this world collapsed and everything collapsed, they're going to start turning to the believers. Mm-hmm. To the believers.
Yeah.
They're going to start turning to them because things are going to happen within them. It's not them as a person because we're all sinners. It's within them. The kingdom is within. That's something like I always not took from you, Zeph, but you spoke about often from the moment since the past 20 years. The kingdom is within.
Yeah. Amen.
That's one of the first thing I ever heard about you. You always talked about, and that's true. It's within all of us.
Correct.
The only thing the enemy does, he just tried to make you believe that it's not within you. It's on the outside. Oh, your pastor or your church member. No, it's not. And nothing against those people. But it's within you. You can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. It's right within you.
Amen.
Literally within you.
Amen.
That's how Daniel was able to go into the lines then.
Yep.
And nothing happened to him. That's what Ashrak, Bishrak, and Abednego, I'm sorry I messed up those names, but they're able to go into the fire, literally a burning fire, and they're fine. And they know, who's that fourth person with you?
Yep.
Right? That's exactly what it is. Right?
Hallelujah.
That's the message of hope. That's the message of hope that people forget, because the enemy makes you forget that through so many things, through your problems, to even some of your joy, to some of your things that you could be addicted to. He makes you forget that.
Amen. Yeah, the kingdom is within, and therefore you've got everything you need to remedy the situation you're in, even if you're in a cell, in solitary confinement, all by yourself. You still have the kingdom within you. You still mm-hmm. have everything. that you could ever, you know, possibly hope to have. But, you know, it's a matter of turning, you know, it's a faith thing. It's like, you know, if you have faith, if the Lord shows you these things, because he is really going to show you, and then you, you know, are obedient to the Lord. He says, you know, pray this in Jesus' name, and, you know, I'm with you. I'm always with you. I'm within you. I'm in your mind. I'm here in front of you. I'm all around you. You know, you're not one day are you without me having hold of you. There's not one day that you're out there on your own without me. You know, just recognize that, realize that, and then you get a whole lot more comfortable no matter what you're going to face. I mean, because, you know, we're going to all face realizing that we've seen a lot of death the last couple of years, but it's nothing to be afraid of, you know, because we're going to face it with the Lord. He's going to have us. He's going to have me by the hand. He's going to say, don't be afraid. You know, don't be nervous about it. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind. Everything's going to be taken care of. It's all okay.
Yeah.
You know, and then...
That's exactly that, Zeph, because even like, you know, like you've been speaking in the past couple talks that you had about people that are suicidal, because right. It's close to your heart. It's you understand that, and you can speak about it and give people the hope, because you know what? A lot of people have thought about suicide.
Yeah, we got to do more on that.
A lot of people have thought about it, or thinking about that. A lot of people are thinking about all these things.
Yeah, I know.
Especially with this lockdown.
Yes, yes.
The lockdown really
that's what isolation does.
You know what's scary?
That's what isolation does.
Is when you see these politicians that are keeping us locked down who don't care about the suicides and take no responsibility for them, even though they're creating them. It's just terrible, and, you know, I'm seeing a side of humanity that, where I remember when I was, you know, a kid, my dad would take me to these movies. Sometimes they were above my, you know, he wanted to go and he had this little kid with him and he was just going to drag me to the movies because that's what he wanted to see. He never took me to a kid's movie. It was always the adult movies. And I saw this, where they made this story called Billy Budd, which was written by Herman Melville, and they made it into a movie. And it was the first time I really saw cruelty in a man, you know, and real cruelty. And, you know, I was so disturbed after I saw it, I couldn't even talk, you know. And my dad goes, well, I think that movie was probably a little bit too grown up for you, you know. And I just was like, I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. I was hurting really bad. I was really frightened. Because I just didn't think that a human being, you know, I mean, you know, being a little kid, you know, you don't think, even though people can be cruel around you, you tend to go into denial about it. Well, I saw this performance, this guy was really, really, really cruel, and, you know, and even sadistic, and it made me realize something about life at too young of an age. I must have been 5 years old, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And I just was like, I was traumatized.
Yeah.
And, you know, but actually what happened is in my life going beyond that, I realized that people can get, you know, another cruel villain that was in a movie was in Mel Gibson's movie, The Patriot, played by Jason Isaacs, the Brit captain who burn a whole church down full of people, lock the people in there, and then burn it down, and burn everybody in it. And he laughed about it. He, you know, he was proud of it. And I just, you know, it's, I'm going, my God, how does a person get to that level? You know, I mean, I just couldn't understand it.
And now we see it on live TV. Bill Gates giggling about killing everybody.
Yeah, I see it now in these governors. That same cruelty I saw in that Billy Budd thing and in that, you know, Patriot movie and others, many villains, you know, I mean, you know, many, many I've read about and seen. This thing they're doing now where they ignore the suicides and they ignore the broken lives who've lost their livelihoods. And ignore, there's somebody that I know a little bit online that has a restaurant. And they're wanting us to, you know, write our senators and people and try to get them to unlock the restaurant so they can survive. They're a young couple that has kids, and they need to have people come to the restaurant. And it's in a situation where it's just a very tragic situation to watch the struggle and to see the concerns and the fact that they can't do the most basic thing, and that is to feed other people and feed themselves. And, you know, that they are possibly facing hardship or possible bankruptcy and you know.
So many.
And they
so
don't
many
know.
Families. So
well,
many.
I'm using one as an example, but this is across the state, across the world. And if John and Violet are going to give us an update on Pakistan, because we don't, you know, that's really bad there, but it could also be as bad here, too, if you just keep the lockdown going long enough.
So
yes.
Ridiculous. So ridiculous.
So, I mean, it's...
You know...
Go ahead, Charles.
When I was sitting here listening to Patrick speak, I was almost mesmerized in the flow of the spirit, I suppose. But he mentioned three words that I think are critical to where we're at now today. First is faith.
Yeah.
It sees and understands what others cannot and do not.
Mm-hmm.
And faith leads to trust in our living Father who guides and strengthens and protects us through these times and all that he calls us to do or to say. And the faith and the trust lead to the most important part, and that is hope. Because hope moves us to action. Hope sustains us. Hope reaches out to a promise and to a future. And that's the key, you see, these three words. And that's why we see our world falling to pieces, because without faith, without trust, without hope, we are cut off. And then nothing happens.
Yeah, there's no future, then. You're just
slide down the tube. That's right. And this is what they're trying and striving to take away from us.
Yep.
But they cannot, because
they cannot.
The Spirit is moving today in men like Patrick. Patrick is a quiet man. He doesn't speak very often, but my friends, when he does, listen!
Yeah.
Because the Word of God flows through this man.
But I knew he had it going. I knew it, right? I got it. I got him back.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew he had something to
praise the Lord.
To give us.
It was all there.
Hallelujah.
It was all there.
Because God spoke
praise
to me.
Praise God. Thank you, Patrick.
He said, get Patrick on the line. Get him going. You know, and it was completely silent. I'm like, what am I, you know, and finally he came on. All of a sudden I felt, same thing, I felt the flow of the Spirit flowing over us.
Amen.
And when he was talking.
Amen to that, guys. But it's flowing in, like I said, it's flowing in all of us. It's when you start understanding exactly what they want to take away from you, but they cannot unless you give it away. You know, a lot of things can happen to you when you go through heartache and it's difficult, but the most important thing, it's to keep the faith. Keep the faith, keep trusting him, keep knowing him, keep speaking to him, and you don't have to do this whole thing. You just speak like you're speaking to a friend and exactly tell him, hey, this is what's going on. This is what I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, remember, guys, he's seen it all. He has seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, I started off today really very grumpy. And
he
was telling me overnight, he was telling me, don't worry about anything. And that was all grumpy because I knew it was going to be a good show eventually. You know? I just had to stop with that. But I knew, because I could see the way it started, it was like, you know, everything was going wrong. I couldn't type. Things were just getting me irritated. And usually when that happens, eventually, sometime in the show, it gets anointed. Something happens.
Let's begin to pray.
Okay. Well, we want to hear from Violet and John, though, first, about how's it going in Pakistan. John, are you there?
Yes, we are here.
Hey.
And, yeah, we are so excited today. We are just when we started the Lord work, I am so this specific word, the faith, trust, and hope. And I just add our love of Christ in these three words. And when we start this work in the Pakistan, I believe that me and Violet, we are growing every day. We are just growing in Christ every day. And we are so thankful for the family of 2020 who are always support us with their prayers, with their mental support. And also in this month, which is October, we have a plan that we will rescue a child because from Brooklyn, because there is a empty plan of a Brooklyn owner about this thing. And we have not a proper information, but just collecting the information, and hopefully you will listen to good news on next 2020. And and also I want to share this one in trust and faith. A few months we trust and faith, and we just ask to the Lord that Lord, we want that we want to make a shelter home for street kids, mm-hmm. For the families who we rescue from the different areas. We will keep these families in that shelter home. So I believe that coming 2 months, you will listen a good news about this shelter.
Hallelujah.
It will exist on the earth, and I pray for you that you will pray for the finance, and also we have a faith, trust, hope, yes. And love. So so in coming days, this is a 2020 program. I believe that this year there is a too many work for us, and I believe that when the families will live in this shelter home, we will enjoy the presence of the Lord. So,
John, I want to ask you something. Could you tell them what you told me, you told us a long time ago, when you started this Feeding the Hungry ministry, you were cooking for the kids in the orphanage, and then the Lord spoke to you. Could you just give them that little testimony? Because it's so powerful, you know, about that day God spoke to you and told you to feed the people. When you were feeding the children. Go ahead. Sorry. Put him on the spot, Trish.
Yes. This is a great blessing of 2020. Yes. All the team, all the people.
And for your page.
When sometimes we feel weak in faith, always we receive a power from you. Yes. Sometimes when we are praying, just we think about you and we receive a power same time from the heaven.
Yes.
So this is a group of a great people.
Yes.
Who are working for power. So in these days, you pray, especially you pray for these three projects, food drive, and rescue a kid, mm-hmm. and also for shelter home.
Right.
So we are going to this very soon.
Mm-hmm.
So you will pray continuously for this one. Okay.
Well, we're playing. I'm always telling them about how God spoke to you and said, while you're making the food for these children, you could also make food for them out there to eat that need food, who are hungry. So you started making food not just for the kids, but you stepped out in faith, in other words, to feed the hungry out there with the hopes that the provision would be there to help you to feed the people. And you started one day, and then I don't know how many years later, but
thousands of people.
You started one day, and you just obeyed the Lord when the Lord spoke to you, and then you began to make the food for the people that needed food, and you've been doing it all the way down to this day today without stopping.
Amen.
Thank you for these honorable words for us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
That made a big impact
praise
on
God
me.
For you.
Yeah. It was a big impact because you said that the Lord spoke to you. This was maybe the only time that I've heard you say the Lord spoke to me in that moment. And,
yes.
And I know it was the Lord. I know, I witness it's the Lord because of the success that you've had in being able to feed the people. And then you've never looked back. The food drive has gone from that day forward, and you never looked back. You kept going forward. And the Lord kept making a way forward. And I know that it got, you know, at times...
And through
it was,
the floods and everything.
The floods, the lockdown was very tough. There were people starving, people dying all around, and you just kept going. And it was very hard on you. I know that. But the Lord has seen you through and will continue to. I want to say this. You guys are going to grow to be much bigger than you are now in terms of being able to take care of many more people. I don't know how it's going to happen, but something's going to happen to enable you to do that. Because what you're doing there is not just, you know, saving lives, obviously, and saving people from starvation. They're getting the gospel. They're getting the Spirit. They're getting Jesus.
Yeah.
And then when they get that, then they're going forward too. And then they're turning from a victim to a helper, let's say. And so it's very powerful. I have this sort of fantasy in my mind where I see you and Violet changing all of Pakistan.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You're changing the whole place.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I
Jesus.
Jesus can do it.
Amen.
Amen. I just see it.
Hallelujah.
Actually,
all the honorable team, I just want to share with you that. And when we rescue the kids, when we just going to run an orphanage, and we are other missions food drive, and when the people see us, they have a big hope that they are special one, they are special people. And when we share with the word of God with them, in the people, that they believe that something is happening. In Pakistan,
yes,
not both. So it's all, yeah.
Hallelujah.
We should make a documentary about this,
Lord.
Trish. We should bring cameras over there and film the whole operation. Anyway, it's great. It's a great. It's really great to think about this story and to think about now that you have a shelter home. You know, for the people, the streets, and you got the orphanage, you got the food drive, and how the Lord is really blessing you, and a lot more people are getting involved. And folks, if you want to get involved with I call them Little Treasure Orphanage, it's now Little Treasure Ministries. But you can still call them Little Treasure Orphanage. It's Little Treasure Orphanage.
Little-treasure-orphanage.com.
And you can get involved and look at the pictures. You can reach out to Violet on Facebook or John, and you can actually interact with them, and you can see pictures of what they're doing and what village they're in and videos they make. They're all very delightful. Some are very heartbreaking, but you know how it is out there, right? It's we're called to kind of, now's the time to grow up, I think, a little bit, right?
Yeah,
so,
I was thinking how... How strong and brave that little Sidra, is that her name? Sidra, the girl that ran away when her father was going
to
sell. He was going to sell her to the men so
right.
he could have more money for alcohol. And she heard the plans and she took out the window. Boom, she's gone.
Okay, well,
now
well
she
I hope you
street.
Have a rescue of her or whoever else you have this month. And then next month we hear about successful rescue of this child and whatever else you guys are up to. But I can feel that there's a lot of people listening right now who will be getting involved with you, who will be reaching out. And I think this is a wonderful thing. And I see this, especially in the next year to 2 years. There's going to be a lot of people coming your way from the West, from over this way, or from Europe, that are going to want to get involved, in the ministry, because this is Jesus literally on the ground in Pakistan. I mean, literally at the most crucial place where poverty and death are just right there, and then there's Jesus' miracles right there. You know, it's a good way to sober us up from a lifetime of gosh, I don't know what the hell this was here. But anyway, contact them at Little Treasure Orphanage, hyphens between the word little, hyphen treasure, hyphen orphanage.com. I don't write it in the description below for you YouTubers because I can't type, okay? I just give up. I'm sorry, but half the time I try to type something, it starts the show without my consent.
Yeah, it's been doing that lately.
So I'm, you know, this is a very expensive Apple computer that I used to do, well, I still do music on it. You know, it's like a little music studio. And boy, I tell you, you know, it's give me that simple primitive computer from now on. Give me an old word processor or even a typewriter. Okay, folks, let's get to praying. I know there's a lot to pray about. Govinda, would you be so kind and starting us off?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you. We come before you right now as your children. We come before you around the world. And we focus in this moment in what we consider as time, and we come before you as your people, as humanity, created by you for your purposes, your plan, your will, your desire, here upon this earth, upon this world at such a time as this. And as we come before you, Father, we come before you as created beings that have been given access to you. And we can come before you through that finished work of Jesus Christ. We can come before you through the reality and the manifestation of who we truly are, that we are one in you. And that then as we are one in you, and as the kingdom is within all of us, and that kingdom within us is quickening us to come before and to come together and to pray and to ask and to petition and to combine our efforts, our labors, our faith, our push, our desire, all towards one specific thing when we get together like this on the 20th. And that is for the end of human trafficking and yes. For the end of modern day slavery in all of its many forms, whether it's the sex trafficking, the labor trafficking, the organ trafficking, the illegal adoption, the child soldiers, the unsafe migration, the different ways that this issue has continued to manifest around the world, and all the underlying forces in this world that push and perpetuate a slave system. Father, we are asking you as your children upon the earth this time that you would bring about a complete and total end to this slave system. And that it would no longer continue to go forward, that your creation, that humanity would be set free, and that all of these different manifestations would be destroyed at the root, and they would no longer be allowed to continue. That, Father, that your people, your creation, would be set free from this oppressive force, from this drone, from this off-world entities that just continue to destroy and grind down and siphon the power off of that which has been made in your image and your likeness. Father, we are asking you that you would intervene continually in the affairs of humanity on this earth at such a time as this and make that change here. And Father, we invite you to quicken us, each and every one of us, and what we can do to participate with what you are doing in the realm of the Spirit, and to see these things come into the natural experience that all have here. But Lord, we Father, we know that that things can be very, very different upon the earth. And we thank you that you have been exposing things, bringing things into the light, bringing up all kinds of solutions that are percolating just under the surface. There's so many things that are just waiting to break out in a good way upon humanity, and so many things that can make such a difference in the lives and the experiences of people. And at the same time, the darkness is trying to keep humanity under wraps, trying to keep people under their thumb. Father, we ask that their attempts and their plans would fail them in the most colossal ways, that all of their intentions to try to keep mankind and humankind under their thumb would fall apart, and that all of these things would fall apart in an amazing way, and that there would be an incredible time on the horizon for your creation. And that in that time that is on the horizon, that it would also be that marked by an end of the slave system and an end of human trafficking and an end to that manifestation. And so, Father, we continue to petition you and continue to quicken one another in this as we continue to stay focused. And we thank you. We know that you hear our petition and you are working through and working in this paradigm at this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this moment that we have on this October 20th, Lord, because it's a very powerful moment, Lord, and the people that are going to listen to this podcast today, tomorrow, in a year, in a month, in 3 years, Lord, that the impact will stay. The anointing will stay within them, and they will be healed by listening to this podcast. They will find you and find the Lord when they listen to this podcast. They will be encouraged, Father God, when they listen to this podcast. Lord, I agree with my brother that this prayer, Lord, and I stand with you, Lord, that you are powerful, you are amazing, that, Lord, you are breaking chains, and that's what we pray right now, that whatever chains that we have within us, chains that we have made up or built up in our mind, chains that we have physically put on one another, chains so that you break those chains. You break those chains, Lord, and we come against, Lord, the evil that's surrounding the world, Lord. We come against him, and Lord, rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone that's going to listen to this podcast and everyone on the panel right now, Lord, that you cover them with the blood of Jesus. You infuse them with the Holy Spirit, Father God. Yes. And Lord, that you raise them up, Lord, as they're standing right now, you raise them up even higher, Father God. Lord, that the people that are involved in human trafficking, those human trafficking association or system be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Be broken right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you free your people. You free your people. You free your people. Now, Lord, now, my Lord, now, my King, Lord, I pray that people will seek after you with everything they got, even under the last moment on earth, they will keep seeking you. People will just come after you. People will just come to you, Lord. Lord, just for those people that don't know you, that want to change their life, Lord, I pray with them at this moment. Lord, they will just say, I accept you, Jesus. I accept you, Lord. Whatever sin I've done or committed before, it's all done. It's all washed. And now I'm in your family. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. I believe that you were there, Jesus. And then you could come and deliver me and comfort me. And just like that, Lord, we have new members in the Jesus family again, in the Lord's family. Lord, that the people would just open up and pray with the words that they have. There's nothing magical about this prayer, but it's just them being honest and recognizing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's no bigger than you. It doesn't matter if people say, oh, I got this gift or that gift, or I can do this, I got this amount of money. It does matter, Lord, because you are in control of our lives. You are in control of our life, and we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for everybody that's in the panel that, you know, that are, you know, trusting you and believing in you, Lord, because we all do. Well, I thank you, and I pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name again. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I thank you, Father, for this morning, for this opportunity for us all to come together, those on the panel, those who are in the chat room, that it may strengthen our faith, our trust, and our hope. And in the full strength of these three, Father, I come to you this morning asking that you would end this systems of child slavery, that you would take away this evil that has thrust itself upon us, that feeds upon us, that uses the most precious things of life to empower the darkness and the evil that we see all around us. Oh, my Father, we have come to you for all these years now, and we know and we trust, for we know that you are life. And we ask you to spread this life around the world, my Father. Restore your people. Bring your people true and through all of this. Oh, my Father. And also this day I pray for our nation, for what we are facing, for our president and what he is trying to do. I pray for this election, Father. Keep your hands upon those ballots. Keep your eyes upon those who would deceive us, who would cheat, mm-hmm. who would lie, who would do mm-hmm. anything to destroy the last hope of freedom that is alive in this world today, my Father, and that centers on you. So we come to you today, my Lord. Free us, my Father. Free those who are in bondage to this terrible system. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise, thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Father, in this moment, Father. I believe that your Holy Spirit is now pouring on us, Father. And I believe you are using us in, even we are in Sri Lanka, even we are in Pakistan, even we are in USA and other countries, Father. I believe that every day is a new day in our life, Father. And through this food drive, Father, you are going in Brooklyn's, Father. You are going in slums, Father. Yes. You are going in streets, Father. You are going on the roads, Father. And just the people are so hungry that they want to listen the word of God when they eat food, Father. And also, Father, encourage us, give a new hope to us, Father, that we will reach everywhere where you want, Father. Yeah. Because, Father, believe that soon we will win Pakistan in your name, Father. Because I believe that you gave your life for these people, Father. Who don't know you, Father, even mostly people, Father, in Pakistan, they don't know the name of Jesus, Father. But I believe that in these days, you give us an opportunity that we will go easily to anywhere, Father, to distribute food. When we distribute food, Father, we give a word of God, the Father, and I believe that your prayers, the people who are praying for us, even sometimes we have a nobody, but I always can faith and trust that this day we will make our 300 people. And really, Father, when we are distributing, Father, I believe that
You are the Lord of Lords. You are a final Father. And you all will always fulfill your promise. Father, bless everyone, Father. And especially, Father, I pray for America in these days when, Father, no settled plan will separate American nation through this elections, Father. Father, you will send your Holy Spirit, Father, to the people, Father. They will unite. They will unite. They will unite to each other, Father. And this nation will be a more and more blessed, Father. I believe, Father, you always listen our prayers, Father. You always, Father, listen us, Father. Because we pray. Because we always make the seed with our tears, Father. And I believe that which we just bow, which we just seed with our tears, Father, we will just cut this harvest with joy, Father. I believe that the days are coming that we will be a winner and Satan will be a loser soon, Father, because you are coming.
Yeah.
We believe that you will get pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us together this morning. Father, we really appreciate all that you're doing right now to open the eyes of people all around the world, not by a power of the truth, but by the power of the evil that is being exposed. So it is the truth. Lord, I'm so grateful that we have so many people who are seeing through the facade of the attack by the satanic. I ask more and more that more and more people will wake up to you, Lord, and to what you are doing throughout the land. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would put an end to all of the human trafficking and all of the slavery, modern day slavery that's happening throughout the world, that you would expose it more and more. And as the evil tries to clamp down more and more, it's just being more exposed. So Lord, we ask that you completely expose it and put a stop to it, that we could end human trafficking throughout the whole world. Father, we thank you for bringing us to this point where we have a president who is actually making this a top priority. And we ask you to protect him, Lord. And as Charles was praying about the election, Lord, we ask that you would bring a miracle upon this country, in the sense of they're trying to set us up for wars, strife, poverty. Lord, we ask instead, Lord, that you would bring a blessing and keep President Trump as president, and without wars, without wars. And thank you, Lord, for just blessing us through this terrible time of the COVID. Your blessing in Pakistan, Violet and John, blessing so many people, saving people, turning people towards you, Lord. And we are very, very excited about this giant move in Pakistan. And we think that it's happening all over the world, that people, because they're locked down, they're looking to you. And we ask, Lord, that you would bring people out of the lockdown. Let everybody free. Let everybody free. Let the lies be exposed, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Lord, once again, thank you for bringing us all together here, and I never know how it's going to go, and you're always full of surprises, Lord. It's no surprise to you, but whenever I think the worst, the best comes, and whenever I think it's the best, it's not so good. And I never can predict what's going to happen exactly, but Lord, when you show up, everyone is healed. Everyone is healed I pray this healing goes out to everyone who can hear our voices today, out this way, that way, from the podcast, that all of you will have a healing from the Lord, Lord, that you will heal them all and give them clarity of thought, clarity of purpose, and restore love in their hearts. Lord, we need love and compassion amongst the people here. It's very sad to see how much hatred there is. Lord, I ask you to heal our land, but to heal it by removing this terrible hatred and division and bring us together as humanity, perhaps just over the issue of survival. If people could understand, if their eyes could be opened so they could understand that what's happening here, what you're allowing to happen here upon the earth, is this great evil that's come upon us at a global level, not just a local level, but global, being run by people that are not elected officials, but by being run by people that really do run the world. And that they can start to see that the enemy is not us here or over there, but it's a central global enemy that has always wanted us all dead. Lord, we know they want us all dead. We know they want to kill us all. You, Lord, are sovereign. You are the king. You, Jesus, are the king. You do not want us all to die. But if we do live now, it will be because of you and you alone and your intervention that caused us to live and causes us to live. And Lord, I thank you for intervening everywhere, and to the starving, to people starving in the street in Pakistan and around the third world, and to us fighting in the streets here for no good reason, Lord, that you would come and heal our land, and that in exchange, Lord, many, many people, when their eyes are open, they're going to turn all their attention to you. Everyone all over the world is turning attention to you and asking you, maybe even begging you, to intercede, to intervene, and to fix these horrible, horrible problems that are making many people commit suicide, Lord. Many, 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 many. Lord, we ask you to intervene in all of their lives and open their eyes to the goodness of you and to the eternal quality of your world, your kingdom, which is within us and outside of us, but not necessarily right where we live, where there's so much evil. Lord, I ask you to use the evil, then, if you must expose it, yes, to use it to expand awareness in all people that would seek you, that their awareness, that their intelligence, that their guidance would increase to where good decisions would be made for families and for children, good decisions by adults for adults, and wisdom would reign rather than hot tempers and stupid killing that goes on. Lord, we ask you to stop the killing. We ask you to please wake us all up and then show us where you want us, Lord. You'll have now a tremendous amount of obedience to you, Lord, in this country, in all the other countries that are on the earth, that people in all these countries are waking up and they're turning their eyes to you. And any victory, we all know the victory is yours, Lord, and you are the one who fights these battles for us. It's too complicated and too giant a thing for us individually to fight, but we ask you to fight this battle of the evil, to beat it back, and to protect your children, and protect the starving, and protect the people that want to go to war, and all of that, all of these people that just don't know themselves, they don't understand. Lord, they don't understand, and I just ask you to expand them to where they do understand that we must put our eyes on you in order to get out of here. We must rely on you if we are to be free. We must rely on you if we are ever to get out of here. We must rely on you for any restoration. We must rely on you for any kind of healing, that it comes from you and you alone. And when people understand that, Lord, I just know they'll stay with you. I just know there'll be a harvest. I just know that you'll have every soul that can hear this broadcast today, I know their hearts are open to you, Lord. That I know that whatever they were thinking before, right now it's all about you. And if you just take them up and save them, Lord, they will stay loyal to you and gladly walk out of this horrible world. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus' name, amen.
Okay.
So, Father, we just want to thank you for this day, this opportunity, that we've been given to come before and to bring our petitions before you. And in this time, we're grateful and we seal all of these petitions, these prayers, these supplications before your throne. And we ask for you, our Creator, the source of all life, our Heavenly Father, to hear and to answer all of our requests and our prayers of this day. In Jesus' name, we're grateful. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Flooding of the Holy Spirit today.
And we need, Lord, also protection from the vaccine changing our bodies.
Right.
We need protection, Lord. Awareness of this. We need to stop the evil ones that are trying to change us into something that you did not make.
Yeah, that protection, only God can protect us from that. Because yeah. That's, they're bringing their armies, they're bringing their,
But Father, we need adjudication, Father.
Yeah.
We need justice. We need these things to be exposed, revealed, for there to be individual accountability, responsibility assigned, that people cannot hide behind governments or corporations, but the people responsible, that they're brought out and that there is judgment and there is justice and there is that the entire world would see and take a warning for themselves and not go down this path again because of what they see that happens to those that try to pull this on humanity. Father, we need you to pull these people up and to destroy this effort against your creation. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The Bible is coming alive here.
That
it's really something.
That BioLogos project needs to be completely, utterly exposed and destroyed as well, Lord. Please do that because they're trying to, under the pretense of Christianity and science, they're changing the word, they're changing the logos, they're changing your word and the meaning of it, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, they can't live with
very dangerous
within the confines of the word. They have to change it just like they want to change DNA because it doesn't quite fit their agenda.
And you know who we're talking about, Dr. Redfield? Dr. Redfield? He needs to be exposed. I'm grateful that President Trump is now exposing Fauci, calling him a fraud,
Trish,
calling him an idiot.
I really, I guess my concern going into this political season of election, I'm just going to have to give it to the Lord, and I don't know what to think at this point. I see this manipulation of people that have gotten to this insane hatred toward one another. I mean, I addressed it in my prayer, but, this insane hatred that is not even rational.
It's like nothing.
I've ever seen. There's so many things that are not like anything I've ever seen before upon the earth. And, I know the heart of man, the heart of darkness. And I know the heart of goodness, and I've seen both operate, but never have I seen this much evil and this many victims. This makes any kind of genocide we've seen so far almost like a walk in the park. I mean, it looks like today the amount of genocide that's happening and it's on the docket to happen is billions of people dead. And I just ask the Lord if we have to die, but please let us understand why we're going to die. Let us understand why we lived in the first place. Let us understand how this, how we are yours, Lord, how we are your children, and that you will take care of us. Please explain this so we don't die in vain and we don't die confused. That's the worst thing, when people die confused. They don't really know why they lived or why they died. They were here and then gone. And I just pray that you know, for those who need understanding and they need adjudication and they need fairness and they need love and all those things that they would understand if something horrible has to happen to them, you know, that they wouldn't, you know, that you would help them to understand so they could pass through that door in peace and not in strife and not confused and not in hatred and not upset, but they would be at peace. Many people right now are dying and they're not at peace, Lord. Many people are dying right now committing suicide, not at peace. And they're dying not even realizing why they were born. Very many of them cursing the moment they were born. They wonder why they even spent a day here, if it's all going to wind up just being one big death, death ritual. That we would ask you to intervene and intercede and cause life to happen. This is a pretty hairy situation we've gotten ourselves into, but we ask you, Lord, to get us out of it. Or at least, if we have to walk through it, then hold our hand to walk through it so we understand. Because I'm kind of out of understanding. I'll tell you how I feel.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yeah.
They did not love their lives even unto death.
Yep, that's that we cannot covet our lives. We know that. We know that, to save our lives is to lose our lives. We know that. We know Jesus made that very clear. And this is also the Lord is life, though, you know. And if this is who knows if this is that end time spoken of in Revelation, or if is this another time? I don't know. It's hard for me to. It's going so quickly and so overwhelmingly that it's hard to process it. I know one thing. People are having to rely on some kind of escape, some kind of, you know, I've tried to watch, you know, movies and things, and there's so many of them on the HD TVs now, and like I say, I'll search and search, but my head doesn't stay involved in it, you know what I mean? I keep falling out. And I think that's because there's so many things going on here that it's hard to put your attention on something else, or to, you know, it's kind of like whistling by the graveyard. You're pretending that everything's okay when it's it's really, you know, like, yeah, are we going to be here tomorrow? You know what I mean? And then, oh, let's go see a movie. You know, that's what we used to do. But, of course, these are times that we may never go back to those times. Anybody else have anything you want to kick in here as we wrap it up, guys? Little Treasure Orphanage, get involved. little-treasure-orphanage.com. And go say hi to Violet and John there on Facebook. And you'll be glad you did.
Yeah. And keep up, keep it on, guys. Keep up, yep. Keep up the good fight. I think that's
yeah, keep it.
Check out
Faith. Be encouraged, everybody.
And Kanita's Ramble.
Yeah, FaithMix.com. If we get knocked off of all these other platforms, just try FaithMix.com. That's going to be the last thing to go.
That's cool,
and,
though.
And Kanita's Ramble.
Kanita's Ramble, Faith Mix. We have the Zeph Report. I'm kind of on, you know, I also have that stealth kind of secret Podbean account that I may go ahead and upgrade today.
Oh.
And get everything up to speed.
Oh,
I haven't
good,
figured a way
good.
To, you know, so that there's a stash over there.
It's funny. And I was just looking at the video. I really encourage everyone to watch that Celeste Salom video, because she's got, you know, lots of
grounded,
info there.
Yeah, she's grounded in the Word, too.
She's really grounded in the Word, and
she's really
also,
smart.
Since she had so much experience
brilliant.
With FEMA and government shenanigans, she knows, you know, what they're doing. She's got publications that back up every little thing. I sent it to a few people, but I posted it a couple times, and I just think it really gives you a good idea where we're at and what they're trying to do to us and how we can resist.
It's, you look at the world like a funnel. They are trying to funnel us into this quantum dot, you know, injection, and then hook us to AI. Okay, so that's the funnel. That's the push. That's what COVID's about. That's what elections are about. That's what it's all about. That's the whole thing. And we could just keep focused on that and, you know, come up with a plan on how you'll resist. And, you know, you might have to be clever about how you're going to get food or what you're going to do, since you won't be able to go to the market and you won't be able to...
Pray against the nano slaughter bots.
Then there are slaughter bots,
well,
too.
Here's the thing, though, too, right? I mean, one of the things that is part of the solutions for this is what we're doing right now. When we get together, when we discuss, when we bring things to the open, when we expose their plans, they lose power. When you start realizing that the bulk of humanity sees what we see, they start losing their power. They start losing their control. That's why they're doing all the censorship. They don't want people to realize how many people are already awake. They're trying to ramrod this thing through as quickly as they possibly can, making all kinds of mistakes along the way, trying to just stumble across their fictitious finish line. Listen, when we
fictitious
remove
is
our
right.
Consent, yeah, it's fictitious. They've actually, I believe they've lost,
Amen.
But they
course.
Just don't know it yet.
Know
so they're going to make some huge mistakes and some sloppy things in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you start seeing that whole crash happening, just kind of move out of the way, let them crash and destroy themselves. But here's the thing. Make certain decisions and certain choices for yourself. You know, I just one thing I'll leave you guys with is just this just something I was kind of saw. But if you think about a wave crashing, you know, and we've talked about this before, but a wave on the ocean, well, a lot of different people, you can all experience that same wave in different ways. Some person could be riding that wave. Somebody else could be in the place where the wave is crashing and in a miserable experience, just trying to keep their head above water. Somebody else could be beyond the wave and miss the whole thing. Somebody else can be close to the
shoulder. Where'd he go? He's there.
He's there. Looking down and seeing it and having a totally different view. It's all the same moment. Somebody could be under the water and looking up and seeing this translucent experience happening above them and unaffected. All of that happening at the
Yes.
He's
lost
kind of going in and out.
We lost
there.
You again, Govinda.
As it's also where we are at times positionally. And this is something to start considering for yourself as well, is what can we do to adjust where we are in the middle of the things that are coming down to lessen their impact on you individually, mm-hmm. as well as us collectively as humanity.
Amen.
And I'm going to start using that word and that term, humanity, because we are human, they are not.
Yeah.
So as humanity, what can we start doing to start lessening their hold on us in different areas and different aspects of our lives, because we are the ones that create. We are the ones that have the resource, the power, the imagination. Zeph, I think on one of your recent podcasts, you said the key is imagination. You know, the key to reality is imagination. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, that is a key piece. They don't have it. They don't have creativity, imagination. They just have slavery, enslavement, just siphoning off power off of that which is alive. Mm-hmm. They're a bunch of parasites. When you that can't live without the host. So we need to be aware of that. We are to ride the wave, you know, but don't let them be the ones to dictate your options. I'll put it like that. Because they tell you, look, either take either six of one or half a dozen of the other, and I don't like either one of those.
Yeah.
Create your new ones. Create new things. Say, what about option double Z X 13? You know, I don't need to go with A or B. You know, I want to create.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do things totally different. And here's the thing. when we start making, when you start taking a step, I mean, even the name Faith Mix, it's you know, it's what we believe in. We act it out. We take a step. It's faith mixed with action. It's so when we start doing something in line with what God will meet us there, our Creator will back us up. He will be with us, and as we move forward in trust. So we need to get that peace again quickened within every one of us, because we are the ones that create. And when we move, they cannot keep us in that. What they want to do is take that power, that creative power in us, and siphon it off and use it to build their slave system.
That's right.
We cut them off, and we have the power to cut them off. And once we cut them off, that power is now there to be utilized however our Creator wants. And He does that with you. And we're part of it. It's not, He's not something over there. He's put that in you of what He wants you to do and to create. Once you start moving, you watch. He's going to back you up in the most incredible ways. He's going to flow through you, and you will create far beyond the imaginations that the worlders and they and these enslavers have, far beyond anything they can think. So I want to just encourage people too, because in the middle of this difficult time, even over this next window of time, allow our Creator to quicken you within. And there's going to be, in the very near future, a season of incredible creation that I believe is on the horizon for everybody listening. I'm not saying some of us. I'm saying every person listening to this right now, if you're hearing this, that's you. There's going to be a season of incredible creation on the horizon for you. If you could create anything, what would you do? Well, how about you try that in the very near future? Stop, get quiet with your Father, let Him show you, reveal to you, and as you begin to create, you're going to see Him do incredible things in and through you. So this is there for His people. What do you do with the freedom when you have it?
Yeah, while we have it, right?
Yeah.
While we still have it.
Well, yep. You know, I wonder if we've ever known the true freedom, truest freedom that we could potentially have, because we've always had this thing nagging in the back.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. What if that thing goes times, away?
Yes. I'd love it. It'd be joy. It'd be that thing in the background, you know, oftentimes that would get us to blame ourselves when it was really not our fault. And then sometimes when we get arrogant, we don't blame ourselves when we really should be repenting, because it really is our responsibility. And that discernment to know the difference between the two is something that only wisdom can teach you. And the only way you can get wisdom is if the Lord gives us wisdom, right? Remember how Solomon asked for wisdom, and wisdom was given to him without repentance, even though he blew it with the witches and, you know, screwed around a little bit with the kingdom. He lost that. The Lord kept the wisdom going. And it turns out that wisdom is the most coveted thing, because when you have wisdom, you can make good decisions. And when you make good decisions, that could be a real benefit to your life and your longevity and the quality of life. Because wisdom is always going to go for a higher quality of life. Wisdom is always going to go for for the right thing versus the convenient thing versus the obvious thing. Wisdom digs down and finds out what's the real hidden truth in any matter. Wisdom is what you bring to bear when you use discernment. You're calling upon wisdom to give you the right answer. And when we have more of the right answers, we're more comfortable in life. We're not, and we always know our Father's there to fight these battles. So we can always go, look, I gave it to you. I'm just going to forget it and relax here. And, I got that last night. I was starting to see conspiracies everywhere against me. And then I realized, oh, the Lord's got it. Oh, okay. Thanks. And I'm going back to sleep now. You know, right? Because wisdom would say to hand that to the Father, because it a lot of these things that seem like conspiracies against us oftentimes are
self-fulfilling prophecies. We bring it on ourselves. I hate to say it like that, but a lot of the time we are our own worst enemy, and that we set up things that we walk right into, what we expect to walk into, which is us being a victim. And sometimes we have a hand in setting ourselves up as a victim. I don't know if any of you have caught that, but I certainly have with myself. I can tell you that. And when I started getting onto it, I'm like, my life started getting better. You know what I mean? When I stopped blaming everything on everybody else that was doing this and they were doing that, and they wanted to do me in here, they wanted to do me in there, they're gonna, you know what I'm getting to. That was all conditioning. It wasn't my fault. I was definitely traumatized by circumstances, and that was the conditioning. But the Lord started bringing me out of that by showing me that, wait a sec, you don't have to be the victim here. You don't always have to be the brunt of the joke. You don't always have to go, you know, to set up the joke and then go stand there like to be the laughing stock. A lot of times we're doing that to ourselves because we expect to get a certain thing. It might even be tied in with mommy love. You know what I mean? So you're doing it because you want love. So you're hurting yourself. I understand that so well. That's why I talk about suicide, because I understand how you can get that complex and that you can get that twisted. Anyway, everybody, it's been a joy being with you, joy being with all of you. And we're going to
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us, and it's look out, we're going to be here.
Yes.
Lord willing, we will be here next month.
Blessing
to you, Patrick. We're going to be here next month with love and joy in the Lord and discernment, and we're going to have a new report from John and Violet about rescuing this little girl that they're trying to rescue right now. We're going to keep our eye on that. On Facebook, you can follow them along.
We will be praying.
Yeah, just follow on Facebook, and you can follow the progress of the rescues and the feeding. It's quite dramatic. It's like being, it's almost like going back in time, watching them, right? Going back to the times of Jesus. And so we're going to go. All right.
God bless you all.
See you next time.
Goodbye, everyone. Amen. Yes.